Oh, there's another party falling in. Good.
George, can you put that between you and Gary?
Sure.
Gary's usually a
couple of years ago.
So I guess we're getting ready to get started, huh? Yep, I'm going to lead the meeting today. So
you are?
Yeah.
Okay, fearless leader.
I don't melt even when I get stabbed numerous times. So.
Yeah, well, we'll endeavor to do that as many times as possible.
All right. Yeah, Vern decided at the last minute to pass it to me after yelling at me for not showing up last time. I think it was payback. You know, they always say payback is worse than... Okay, so to start with, we have a couple birthdays.
One of them actually is today.
Oh,
nice.
So I think we should all sing.
Oh, now we're starting to carry this a little too far.
Tammy's going to start.
You were warned about this, Tammy. You were warned about this.
It's not my birthday.
Mm-hmm. How quickly you forget.
My birthday's long.
It was only a month or two ago.
And F-Palm will never be on it again, so now that we have that established.
Promises, promises.
That was the best birthday outfit ever.
So we've got two people on the phone. I don't think anybody else joined. We got Ben and Dave. And it seems like right at the front we usually say, does anybody else have anything for the agenda that isn't already on here that we'd like to add?
Yeah, I think maybe. I haven't had a chance to really peruse the agenda as well as I'd like to, but there's been some discussion with the Walla Walla District on compliance with ESA regarding these coordination forms.
Okay.
And so I think we're going to need to add, I was talking with Marvin this morning, we may need to add a section in the overview section of the Fish Passage Plan that specifically states that these satisfy coordination consultation under ESA, and that the coordination forms have a space somewhere, final results, which often aren't filled in, that says that it was approved on such and such a date by, at least by NOAA.
Okay.
If not Fish and Wildlife Service.
Yeah, I had a brief discussion with him yesterday and asked that he follow up with you because it was kind of, I'll tell you, from an operations perspective, what was happening is we had the environmental compliance folks coming up asking for lots of money to start coming to meetings and doing things like that.
Right.
Sorry, can't do it. So
to come to these meetings?
Yeah,
yes.
So, you know, it just was turning into something where we don't have enough money to do all the things we need to already for operation and maintenance, and then we have other people wanting to come in here, so we did need to address
no reason
this.
For it. And I, you know, the intent of, we used to have a process under the 2000 opinion where we wrote memos, that concurrence memos on actions. We did away with that in favor of having the process we have today. It doesn't have a NOAA letterhead on it, so that's, I think, the issue is that your compliance folks and possibly Portland, I don't know about Portland District, need something that says that this action, whatever it is, was approved by whoever
so
is responsible for endangered species. I don't think we'd sign it. We just need to, as a record of this committee, the way we've always done it, I don't want to change the process. I think what we need to do, though, is maybe change the form to specifically say, because what Marvin was concerned about was that you had compliance folks digging for hours and hours and hours trying to find the minutes for the particular coordination form that contained the approval of NOAA and others.
Actually, I think the other issue, we have some new compliance folks, and they're not as satisfied with existing. So, you know, my impression, and correct me if I'm wrong, is that some of those people were then calling you, and so there's a couple new units down there. And then directing their people, well, if we don't have anything in writing, that's not good. And we went back to them when they asked us for money to start coming to the meeting and said, well, what's wrong with what you used to do, which was email and phone, and that satisfied everything. And then our issue kind of went away, but then this has popped back up again. Because I think it is also Marvin's group, not just the EC group, that would like to, from time to time, submit a change form or something like that here.
Sure.
And You know, I don't think it's correct that it's hard to get out these minutes, because before I got back from the last meeting, John Bailey was telling me what went on at the meeting. So, I mean, Tammy gets these things out there very timely. Mm-hmm. But for people that aren't used to going there, and those guys aren't necessarily looking the day it goes out and whatever.
No, they're not.
Else.
They're
they
going
have,
back
They have
months,
issues,
years.
And it would be good if it was meant, it was verified in the minutes, and then if we have a change form that at the bottom we also just put some resolve, and then we have that. Do the change forms go out on the web as well?
Yeah. So what happens for Portland District is they get finalized in Portland District change forms, say this has carried forward as coordinated above or approved at FPOM or whatever it says, and then that goes on the website by project. For Walla Walla, I don't get the final change forms.
Okay, so maybe we can change that.
Yeah, if you guys just send me the final ones that are completely filled out with all the comments in them and everything like that, then I can post
them. That makes a big difference.
Yeah, okay. This is a Walla Walla concern, not NOAA, but my only concern is that we use the process we've established. If it needs a slight change, fine, but we're not going to get in business writing emails specifically for this. And the whole process that we're looking for is the 2000 opinion. Marvin thought that was what we were still doing, and I said, no, that's null and void. That's long ago. 2000 opinion is long gone. So that process went out with that, and this is the process we now use. And, you know, because the FPP is part of the BIOP, the FCRPS opinion, you know, and it says in there that NOAA needs to concur with any changes to it. That covers it. Okay. It's just that we need to capture that concurrence somewhere that folks can access.
Well, the example I had for him was like, and it's been 2 or 3 years, but I went back and forth with Bill when the LOMO RSW was late, and we had some stuff that had to go on in the 4-bay, and we basically just exchanged technical information via email. And for us, we were doing that through Fitterwig then rather than FPOM, but that kind of satisfied our needs, and it seemed to satisfy your needs as well, and so I wasn't sure what. For Fitterwig items like that, it seems like that still is in place, isn't it?
Yeah, this is just for these coordination forms, as far as I know. I mean, I'm reflecting the comments that I've received from your district, not so much from us.
So I think that's so we're looking for us to kind of maybe we would like to have a uniform process for everyone, and it sounds like we're the ones that need to change, so why don't we work on that?
Okay.
Yeah, we can do that.
Yep. Okay. Okay, so thanks for bringing that up. It has been unresolved over there. I asked him yesterday, because there was going to be some information that I thought I was bringing from those guys up here, and this came up, and I said, you know, I saw the email from Gary about glacial speed and responding, da 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 da, but what was this all about, you know, like. And so then we got into a little...
Who, me?
Yeah. I don't know. Well, the funny thing was I just didn't even know whether he had, you know, what he had submitted or what, because it wasn't attached and stuff. But anyway, it just sounds like we can resolve it. So, great.
Yeah, we will try
to initiate a process similar to Portland, and you can bring back to us if we're falling short, and I'm sure they will, too.
What's important, I mean, the process that we had originally set up was that there would be an analysis, and that you guys would look at it, analyze what you thought the impacts were. We would concur or not concur and say, no, we need to do additional things. And case in point, this coordination form is attached here that Cordy worked on for the DALs. And we've gone back and forth a couple times on this one. But, you know, at the end of the day, we need to be able to say, yeah, we're okay. This fits under the BIOP, and that we're okay with any anticipated impacts, that those were anticipated in the BIOP incidental take statement. So, that's our final approval, I guess, of these things. And so we've gone back and forth a couple of times on this, and I'm ready to say, yeah, good, we're okay with it. But you know, it needs to be fairly robust. To just say we're doing something and we don't think there's a problem isn't enough. I mean, we need to have some background in there. It takes Greg and I've gone back and forth on these two times.
Yeah, and I agree.
We just need
we've done that.
A mini analysis that looks at potential impacts.
And then graphs and whatnot, yeah.
We'll look at it too, and if we say, we're in agreement, and this looks like you've done all you can to mitigate any impacts, and you're correct in your assumptions of impact, then we're good.
Right,
Bill?
If it's specifically stated, if it's a LOMO outfall, I don't think I need to do an analysis to tell you to go ahead and do it. Because we already wrote that in the bio.
Yeah, you shouldn't
do any additional analysis.
You shouldn't be doing an analysis.
I agree with you. You're going ahead. This is a good way to go.
But that's what I mean. Yeah, we're not doing analysis.
What was this analysis done?
This is what we've always done.
Something different than what's in the bio.
Right. They need to justify, if they're saying that there's no impact or that there's a small amount of impact or whatever it is from an action that they're doing that's outside the fish passage plan, they need to tell us what that impact is and if they need to put some, you know, if you say there's no adults present, then show me the numbers.
I was just getting confused between there's two different levels of two different kinds of coordination.
Yeah.
One is just confirming with them that if this is a biop action. The other is that they're wanting to do something that's a little different than this biop.
Right, exactly.
Whereas in the fish passage.
Right,
that
exactly.
One, we need more of an analysis to say that show that they considered the impacts of this. And they're doing it the best way they can. They have to do it, but they're going to do it the best
way. And we just say, we're good with that, we're okay, and that's the end of it.
They're going to mitigate it with 10K more spill.
Yeah, that sounds good.
You know? I mean, that would be really easy.
Keep dreaming.
When was the last time you saw that?
Keep dreaming for later on.
Scott, I don't know. It's right there.
No, Scott. You know? I mean, that would be easy, but we rarely see that.
Yeah, we don't. We usually see that, something like, we just think it's okay.
Have you ever seen that?
That's usually our comments back. You could do more.
Right. I wish you could.
How much more?
We'll give it a try to implement something that better meets people's needs. The other thing that we have to add is going to be an update for folks on Lower Granite Unit 1.
Lower Granite Unit 1? That's a pretty important unit.
We can see the brief now, or we can wait.
Lower Granite Unit 1, set the welded.
For a long time.
Keep this in surprise.
Screw blade.
Yes?
This is Ben. I have one thing to add as well.
Okay.
If I could have a little bit of input on just our winter maintenance issues at Powerhouse 2. We're trying to balance a whole bunch of stuff here at the end of winter maintenance and just wanted to get some feedback from FPOM on dredging and screen installation and corner collector hoist and test and repairs. So
sounds like a few things to cover. Okay.
Yeah, please.
Thanks.
And then is the trigger for, is that on here for the Kelt operation of Bonneville? I guess it is. Yeah, I've got a handout for that.
The only stuff was on the agenda item that we just issued. The unit one.
I put it under
update. Yeah, okay, you've got it under update. Okay, I was just going to ask.
You really got me confused now, Greg, if that was your intent. Where do I want it?
Where do you want it? Yeah.
Okay. So, I guess the barring nobody else has anything else to add to the agenda, does anybody have any reason not to approve the December 2011 FPOM minutes? Any issues? Okay, so that.
And there's two things I want to have quick questions on.
Okay.
AFF pit tag installation and the, I don't know what we call it anymore, the saltwater challenge facility at Bonneville, what's its status?
You want those under updates?
Saltwater challenge? You mean okay. The tent?
I can tell you.
That's good. I'm glad you can answer those, Tammy, because I was going to have a difficult time.
Are we going to turn that into a new party location? Or
maybe Kelt recondition.
Oh. There you go. I don't know if it's going to last long enough to do that.
Still there.
You need time for your fingers to catch up before I keep moving, right?
Okay. She's fast.
Action items. First one is Portland, Bonneville Sturgeon in the draft tube. Is that resolved?
Well, no. I see I'm down here for this one. I took it to SCT and said this is a good way to spend some of our money just researching this next year to see about an exclusion rack. And I got the strong message from... Mike Langsley that, no, we don't spend CRFM funds for sturgeon passage improvements. Is that characterizing it?
Yes, that's what he said. It's not a, it's not an FCRPS issue.
I had a little trouble with that because
it's not an endangered species.
My memory doesn't go back very far sometimes, but it seems like there was times back sometime that we did do things.
Back about 10 years ago, resident fish issues, before we had so much. Right now, I think his message is that we really don't have funds to try to be throwing at anything that isn't already part of some litigation, which kind of is the biops that we have out there. So spread across there. And right now, sturgeon fall like lamprey do outside that. And so lamprey were covered separately with the courts, so they have some money there. But I don't think that we're looking at CRFM for doing any resident fish stuff at this point in time. I don't know that that's indefinite forever. I think it could be. I would disagree with him that it's not allowed or not authorized. I think it's a possibility personally, and I might be wrong, but I think that the intent right now is to cover everything that we have that our needs for meet and biop requirements. And right now, sturgeon, you know, are not listed, although they're not looking good based on, I guess, you know, recent management looks that are hitting the newspapers. So,
but add a little more to that one.
Discussions today.
Go ahead.
The way they got lamprey in there and the Willamette is they put a sentence in the bottom of the WERDA that said it will be used for the Willamette and for lamprey.
Oh, okay.
So if it's a WERDA, so
needs
know,
to maybe needs WERDA coverage.
The word sturgeon got put in there.
Okay.
Then it would be.
So I am wrong, is what you're saying, Scott.
Well mitigation. That's what Mike told you?
That's
what Mike told Bernie, and Bernie forwarded it on to me.
Okay.
And so we may want to have a discussion if the region would be interested in changing that maybe. Mm-hmm. That's probably where it would have to go.
I don't think it's an issue, but it's in there. Then it just becomes an issue of prioritization.
I agree, but right now they're saying you can't even prioritize it because it's not something that they believe they can fund.
Authorize.
Okay. Right. And then by having the word in there, just like it's just one word, it says lamprey.
Okay, so did you catch that?
That may be a way to do it, but it would have to be a conversation with the court to be interested to add the word.
This is under courts?
It was just under the general.
So WERDA is the Water Resource Development Act. It's the authorization, funding
authorization.
I thought
I heard you say court. I moved to the house.
The court.
Yeah. So at the moment, it appears we can't rank a project in SEP.
So did it expire though? Because remember, USGS did do some work at Adult Ladders on lamprey.
Way back when.
We've done stuff before, so I don't know if there's a change in WERDA or a change in how strictly we're following the WERDA. I don't know.
Yeah, okay.
So that might
but anyway, the interpretation at this point is to the letter of
partnership.
It's written and it's not covered.
Our guys aren't having materials. But at our next FOP meeting, I can.
Okay, so I guess the says the action, Hosman will write up a FPP change form, but actually the action is that CORE will need to initiate WERDA coverage. That's really what would happen in order to be able to fund that, based on what?
If they can, we don't have enough money in O&M to cover it. If you wanted to do something
not for this one
that SVT could cover, yeah, it's thought that you have to change something.
Okay.
I think my action on that topic was it was related that I was asking for some sort of FPP verbiage that would cover issues when we can't get fish out of the draft tube, like we have here at Bonneville. I have that mostly done, but in light of what occurred here just before Christmas with getting those same fish from the draft tube into the scroll case, I was waiting on some wording that was coming from operations here that would be able to go in there because they've changed the way their protocol reads to prevent what happened from happening again. So that's the only reason I don't have a change form for folks today.
Hopefully you gave them some lumps of coal.
Close the wicket gates.
It's a wicket gate issue.
Any other action? That's the only action item for Portland on the agenda, so Next one's Walla Walla.
So it's in the cores.
It's in our game now to try to facilitate.
The WERDA things have been done many times in the past. The whole estuary program at first wasn't to be funded by CRFM.
Right.
And they went back and changed, the WERDA got permission, and then we've launched on 8, 9
so,
years.
So, you know, you're talking a couple years out, though, because we're getting ready to prepare the 2014 budget this year. So, you know, and I don't know, they don't do WERDAs every year, so it's just a matter of when they do the next WERDA and getting it included.
There's one that they're working on now.
Is there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, did we get it that Mike was taken this duty on as a move out, or that we need to encourage it?
Yeah. I don't know.
I was going to suggest the SCT, which is next week, I believe.
Next Thursday.
Yeah.
So that might be a good time to probably
talk to Randy and Mike about it and see what.
Yeah.
Tell that they weren't moving forward, other than saying that this is why you don't do it.
Okay.
So we want to add that one word.
Yeah, but, you know, they are the facilitators, so Randy works on that train to build things into WERDA and whatnot, you know, whereas us right here in O&M, we're not really in that process.
No, so they need to be involved, and it's really an SCT thing, I guess. Not just, we don't let it drop, we come back and say, well, what about what Scott says here.
So it'll go in our minutes as a kick out, maybe back to SCT.
Sure.
Yeah. Suggest to Randy that
Mike,
it be written in the WERDA appropriation. Added in there, that sturgeon passage.
Just the word sturgeon, it sounds like, needs
sturgeon,
to be included.
Yeah, sturgeon
so it can be.
Things for sturgeon can be funded.
You could always say that.
Because it is.
That might move things along.
I like that.
Yeah, I don't think that'll fly. No.
Oh, that's a good idea. Yeah.
And?
Yes.
I wouldn't take that track.
Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, and I just got a question. I tracked a lot of the conversation, but some of the voices were a little muted. I guess, could you just give me a clear summary of why the Corps is prevented from doing certain things, and maybe you could explain what WERDA is?
Yeah, we'll start with WERDA. WERDA is Water Resources Development Act, and it's an appropriation mechanism from Congress, you know, authorizing, you know, what you can and can't do. I think to summarize all the voices around the room, basically, Bill brought up an issue related to funding exclusion racks at Bonneville for sturgeon, and was told at the last SCT meeting by Mike Langsley that CRFM had no authority to cover anything for sturgeon. So the do-out we have here is the next SCT meeting. Bill is going to bring it up again to Randy and Mike and ask them to add the wording into the drafting. Tammy has mentioned that there's a WERDA being written up that's drafted. Now, whether that'll go forward and get authorized, we don't know, but at least there's one in process right now that they could get something added to. And so we've sort of kicked it out of here, which is O&M, because we're not really working directly with that WERDA, back to the CRFM folks who are, because that's more closely tied to that funding.
Okay. So is a WERDA document prepared every year?
Yeah, that's
they're drafted, but they usually don't get passed every year. So, you know, it's often every 4 years.
Is there a name for this document? I mean, it's not WERDA as an act.
WERDA is what? Yeah, Water Resource Development Act.
Yes, a new act.
It's a new, yeah, not every year, but whenever it gets passed, it has to go through Congress and get.
And so this is a writer sort of.
There's numerous projects around the country that the Corps or others, you know, under Water Resources Development would like to do that they go for coverage under. And then, you know, it goes through a lot of drafting.
That's a pretty plastic act, it sounds like.
Yeah.
Yeah. Rewritten every year.
Well, it just often doesn't get anything more than drafted, yeah. And so I think when I was first here, well, it had 2004, and they maybe waited until either 2008 to get another one, and may have gotten one in 2010 as well.
There was one in 9 as well.
Was there one in 9? Okay.
Is the tool that the Corps has used over the years to increase the scope of what they could fund with CRFM?
What they can fund.
Yeah, what they
not specific to CRFM,
you know,
but what they
included estuary, and then they included Willamette and there was other things that over the years that we expanded.
Yep, that's largely what it does.
It's also country, it's nationwide.
It's nationwide.
It's just not our little.
Somebody wants to build a new reservoir somewhere, they have to get it written up in a WERDA.
And this has to be approved by a congressional committee, probably?
Yeah, it's several hundred pages sometimes.
Oh, boy.
Okay, so with that, we'll move off that first action to the second. The second one was a Walla Walla action item. I was the person with the do out, but actually John Bailey facilitated that for me, and that was a little bit better description of what had happened at Ice Harbor when the unit was run without screens. So I think you all received that. I don't know if anybody has any ongoing issues.
No, that's fine. Thanks.
Okay, next. Got something, Greg?
No, people had a question.
Appreciate that.
Okay.
Additional information.
Next, action items to be completed or discussed later. The Dalles pit tag installation.
Yeah, and I think Sean had already responded to that.
Okay.
The thought was that we would have going back to the issue, so we're looking at weirs 154 through 7 that needs some work, needs some rehab. And so at the project level, we have the small projects group out of Portland looking into replacing those weirs or rehabbing those weirs.
Mm-hmm. And the guides.
And so the issue was, we have Pitt looking at putting antennas in, and at one time they were looking at 154 weir. And then we also have lamprey mods going on. Is this an opportunity to make modifications to these weirs to make them more lamprey friendly? So at this point, it looks like the pit antenna is steering away from those because of some vibration issues or something. So that probably won't be an issue anyway.
I've heard that.
Somewhere else, whether it's a count station or a stationary weir downstream.
Hey, Bob, who came up with the vibration issue?
Somebody Pacific States or okay. I guess Pacific States.
I don't know. That's the first I've heard of that.
That's the latest I heard.
I know.
That's just with the 154 weir.
Have they ever thought of making the 154 weir a fixed weir?
That was my question, because we talked about that. It never gets used, so why not make it a fixed weir?
Well, it does, but it's like
it never gets pulled out.
1 or 2% of the time that it actually moves. Otherwise, normally it's in.
Extremely low 4-bay.
We haven't discussed it.
What if it's extreme low?
Low 4-bay would be
extreme low.
Yeah, extreme low.
Yeah. Last time that happened, 1952.
If there's an emergency in the 4-bay of some sort, you never know.
No, we've had it come out. In the last couple of years, it's come out once or twice. Yeah.
For how long a day?
Well, not very long.
Yeah.
So there might be a way to make that a fixed weir, make it work. I don't know.
And then they can just get some easy.
What you would
one pit tag in there sooner rather than later.
You'd have too low a head on one weir for a little bit of time is what you'd have. Instead of a foot three or something, it would be down to a foot or like we ran Bonneville most of the year.
Yeah, from a project perspective that'd be great too. I mean that's just one less moving part that we have.
Yeah.
So
I know. I haven't had a chance to talk to Sandy Downey, but she was trying to call me about this. I think she wants to get back to the count station as a location I need to talk
about. Might be the first weir in the count station, some combination of the two, but I would totally abandon that one weir.
Why isn't she looking at the exit weirs?
Yeah. We'll talk with her about it. I'm not real giddy about count station detectors, so if we have to.
For what reason?
I just don't know if we'll always have that count station in there. I just don't know. So you've got to crowd things down. If we don't need the dowels in the future, we have a pit tag detector that's on there that requires it to be in use. Good bet is they'll stay there for forever, but I just don't know. So it'd be nice to have a detector that's off of the count station. It's just less complicated.
Yeah.
Less complication with the count station apparatus, too.
Bob, do you know what the next design team meeting is for this? Or input, of course,
on the pit? them every other week, just have one this week, so. And they're also planning on coming out and taking another, making another site visit here in the next 2 weeks, just to do some final measurements at the count. They're looking at the count stations and other spots, and so set that in.
Well, what I'm saying, and I'm going to tell Sandy the same thing, is that if we can get something done quicker than a count station, we need to do that. Because our position is we need this done as soon as possible. Mm-hmm. Yesterday.
Yeah.
So.
I think the attractive thing about the count station was, because I know initially we were looking at having to have three antennas.
Right.
And I think that's
redundancy.
Two.
Yeah. Right.
And then the thought was, if they could get two into the count station and have it like a standard fit spare that would be able to fit east, west, or east and the north and the Dalles, and even a spare that could run up to John Day.
Count station spare.
Yeah, yeah. So you'd have one spare for four ladders, basically. That was the thought originally, but it didn't go better.
I'm not too worried about that. And you can have spare parts for whatever you build. I mean, it doesn't have to be.
Yeah, Pacific States is saying that the count station is the place to go.
Okay.
If you want to simplify it as much as possible.
And they can get it done.
I don't really care
if they can get it done in the same next year.
Yeah.
Then, no, seriously. If you can't get it done, then I'm going back with Scott's direction and the folks that he had out there.
And the weir, they said, everyone is unique, and so you have to design it as such.
I mean, we already have them in there for half duplex. I mean, to me, it's not that big of a deal. It just sounds like a lot of foot dragging to me.
Yeah.
I know it's not your issue. Yeah. But the vibration is a killer. I know that.
But yeah, that's the last I heard on that, where it looked like it was steering away from 154 because of that.
Because of that. And that's understand that.
But if you can pass on that, we would contemplate making 154 fixed weir.
Right. Well, there needs to be a discussion of all the options here, because we get one side saying you can't do it because of this, and the other side says, well, that's not an issue. We're okay with that. Oh, well, then you can't do it because of this. And we need to get everybody in one room, I guess. I thought we'd done that once already, but
so,
we'll do it again.
Bob, when's your work on 154 to 157? When do you guys have that planned out for those weirs?
Well, we're to replace them or rehab them.
Exactly.
I mean, we're just speccing it right now. It's in small projects right now to just work out all those details. As far as actually getting something done, it's who knows. I mean, it depends on funding at this point. We don't even have it.
The ones that you were talking about, I thought were the telescopic. The last two, I forget the last numbers, were what you were going to.
158 and 9 are telescopic.
Those are the ones that you were going to fix. I didn't think the other three were a problem.
154 through 7 are also on the list. But they're gonna take a close look at them, because 157 is never in the water.
Right. So how's it wore out? Fine. Yeah. And it's a nice spare for the 50. Yeah. What is it? 5, 6, whatever. The next one down.
Well, you'd have to trim them.
Size
different heights.
Ah, that's true. It is. Yeah. You're right.
Something I don't know if it's applicable, but something to consider is the lighting in the count station. I know that at Washington Shore there was some influence of the fluorescent lighting. Maybe Ben can correct me if I'm wrong there, but affecting detection. So.
Oh, the lighting did.
They hung
her down.
There might be something to think about.
Oh,
the ballast.
Are they talking about a pass through antenna at the count station, or kind of a
it's pass through. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they'd be a fixed.
Fixed loop.
So then the other issue was the lamprey side of it, and. There has been discussion. I mean, at least everybody's talking now, so we're not all on different tracks. And then come to find out, we get a new weir, and we could have put a lamprey change in it, you know. So they are looking at it. But at this point, small projects is just moving forward with replacing as is right now. Because they said, you know, when it's all said and done and they have the specs, if something needs to be changed, lower an orifice, round a corner or whatever, they said, go in and change that easy enough.
Right.
But right now, they're just going to keep moving forward, just replacing it as is.
Okay.
So, if Lamprey, if you take a look at though, what they may want to do with those layers, are they at least throwing some input in saying, well, if we want to do this, is that something that's going to be problematic?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. And there's been some proposals like lowering the orifices down on the floor.
but they need to run that through hydraulics, and so they're trying to connect all the people there, the right people there, and so there's a little stalling on that.
So we're going to the Dalles next Tuesday for that AV management. You want to go take a look at some of these areas and
sure.
Take a quick look at them and see if there's some feasibility in some of these spots, what they look like.
Sure.
And then maybe have a meeting or something like that with Sean and those guys and talk over some of these issues.
We need to have actually Pacific States on there because they're the ones that are saying, right. No, we can't here and
get
there.
Get in the same room. And
need that and Sandy Downing in the same
right.
Room.
At the very least, maybe take some photos of that and come back to the
right.
It's just interesting to hear that the vibration that they would have in that gate would be sufficient to kick it out because they were looking to put that antenna on the bottom of a vibrating spillway gate. They were able to make
that
it work.
That was special.
The antenna is more vibration.
A little.
Well, it seems like you could shim those mirrors too. You know?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too. You wedge the hell out of
them.
I know the vibration is there because they, maintenance had to go in and do a lot of patchwork on the guides mm-hmm. This year. Because it just the wheels just ate right through the guide and into that.
Now, is that the same case okay. With the exit weirs at 158 or whatever that you're replacing? Would they vibrate as well in the same degree? Or?
I'm guessing they would.
I thought those are the ones that had the wheel problems, the real serious wheel problems, was 158.
159.
The last two.
Right, but if they looked at putting like a hydraulic ram that holds it in place, if you really are having this going back and forth with the wheel.
Yeah,
there's ways.
I'm sure there's a way around it. Yeah, I'm sure there's a way to
you can jam them in there.
Fix
that.
Yeah.
More mechanics, but
yeah.
That are just
that's
a big
grab.
Bunch of 2x4s, wedges. Yeah, slam them in there.
Crazy people.
If possible, we might want to get Lori on the agenda next.
Is she fidgeting?
Are you good?
Yeah. I'm fine.
Okay. You've been a busy person. She's working. Old job.
She's working.
Well, we're going to get there pretty fast, I think. So, are you good for letting us get there at this point?
Yeah, okay. I'm good. I'd just like to be back to my office 5 minutes to do.
Okay. So, we'll finish out the action items. Last one was Walla Walla. It was a raceway trip, tail screens at Lower Monumental. I sent out kind of a due-out email, if you will, that updated folks, and then I had some questions for Trevor where we went back and forth. You'll recall that this was discussed in some detail at the last Walla Walla Fitterwig meeting. Then it was kicked back here. Largely the issue is, in 2012, Bill Spurgeon would like to put in some slotted passage in one tail screen and one raceway to see if it's better than what was changed out at all the facilities last year for Lamprey Passage. And the reason for his request was when they clean these tail screens now with rakes and whatever, they're finding that it's a little harsh on Lamprey that may be in there with debris, and so that if the Lamprey could more readily pass through, they wouldn't have that issue. Other thing that comes into play is that we now pass Fry potentially because of the size of these slots. And so that has kind of kept this issue a little bit stirred up, if you will, and why we don't totally have resolve on it. I think what we are looking for is for Bill to be able to go ahead this next year, take a look, see whether or not there's any issues with holding or what we have, and then come back and then would expect that this group and or NOAA Fisheries would need to be certain that there is no impact and that we have safe passage for both Fry and Lamprey with any more alterations that we might do to these tail screens. So, I think Trevor came back to me that there was still one concern with LOMO, and that was the high velocities low down in the flume.
It's above criteria, but it's not out of kind of the baseline for you guys to bypass. If I recall, LOMO has kind of an out-of-criteria velocity anyways, so that wasn't really the issue. The only issue, really, I mean, I looked at it, it looked pretty good, The issue is just the knife gate. There's there's an open slot there that's, I don't know, half inch to an inch of just wide open slot, which isn't preferred.
8 feet per second velocity.
But, compared to being in a transport truck and in a Fry with a bunch of other large fish, that might be a better alternative. So, looking at it that way, I'm fine with it.
So
it would be good to monitor something, and see what effect those screens are. There's also an issue with the screen size and the fry, you know, trying to get through it but not quite being able to. So when they're doing their cleaning or whatever, you know, if they could inspect those and check and make sure there's not fry stuck in there and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
As a monitoring effort, so.
Because it's going to be kind of an informal monitoring, you know, I mean, it's
right.
Largely the project and their maintenance is what they're going to keep track of. But that's what they've done in the past, which is how we actually made progress, where Mary then went out and followed it up with an actual study, you know, just to document.
Right. And I mean, you could also put a camera in there for the lamprey guys, too, to see how the lamprey are going through it and if the fry are actually going through it, just for maybe a year of monitoring to see what kind of effect it is having, maybe how many fish might be going through it.
So that might be something... I don't know, do you interact with the lamprey group? I know they're having meetings, I think, today and tomorrow. They always have them at the same time we have these, so it's not like anybody...
That's a pretty good size bracelet.
But in terms of...
Just at the screen. Just at the screen, just a portion of the screen.
That's a long...
They did buy bits and cameras with lamprey money last year that I think they're using in the adult ladders, but you could argue whether or not... It's in the
no, this wouldn't be a digital video.
That's what they do, basically. They look at what's... I remember looking and seeing what's in the screen before we take them out.
We'll have to see if research folks could help them there, because I don't think Lomo facility owns a video that I'm aware of. The other time we've had any inspections done, and I've, for pipes and stuff, we brought it up from Ice Harbor.
I think there's a ladder evaluation going on for adults that same year, so maybe those guys will have the expertise to throw one in there. I don't know if it'd be a bunch of extra expense or not, but just a thought.
It would be an additional expense.
Yeah.
Talking to Jeff Fryer, legitimate video work down in this area.
Unless they have.
Well,
some
yeah,
more Jeff stuff.
See if somebody has something, and then
we
just need to
cameras.
Interact with Bill Spurgeon.
Yes, submersible.
Well, first, I'm not real concerned with it. As long as they're not getting stuck in the thing, it looks like it's okay.
Okay.
I know how Bill feels about this. You're okay with it, too, as well.
I mean, that would be one thing you might do is, like, when you're doing the loading thing, you got a full race space, have some people go down there, take a look, and just see if you see fish.
Yeah, every time they load a barge, they look at the screens.
Well, I think Bill is looking at this as experimental, so you'd think that he would be checking it out.
And that's what he said he was going to do.
Yeah, if you can just make sure he keeps a log and that kind of stuff and some data points, just try to formalize it a little bit so we got something other than, like, look
at
or I saw some
wrong.
Just something a little more
sounds like
quantitative
Bill too.
Than that would be nice.
Yeah.
That's a Bill comment.
Don't do a NOAA qualitative analysis. Well, it would take me another 20 years of experience to be able to do that.
I don't have more professional judgment yet.
Yeah. He doesn't leave the building.
Feel like Kriffick and tell everybody you saw a ray.
Yeah.
Ouch.
That's our research group.
The only other thing on this was, Tom, you had asked about previous inspection reports, and when we went back, it was kind of hard to track those down. I initially was able to email Tammy some 2009s. After doing so, George Melanson brought to my attention that there had been reports written last year in 2011 in February, and so I brought those to her today on CD because one of the files was too large to upload, so she'll be uploading those today after the meeting.
Cool.
Or during the meeting, whichever. Be there when you get back.
Yeah. So I think with that we can let Lori jump in. Not jump in, stand up and disseminate information.
I have a PowerPoint, but I don't need it, I don't think, but it's up to you all. The advantage of seeing the PowerPoint is you'll see pictures of the rock, and you'll see pictures of what happens if we don't remove the rocks.
Is that the same one that Tammy sent out to us?
They're the same pictures, except for in that one, the pictures of what happens if we don't remove the rocks aren't there because the file was too big.
Okay.
Okay, right, let's put it on.
Do we know how to use this thing?
So that's going to take you a second.
Well, somebody has
to
update. Why don't, Greg, you want to start on the Walla Walla updates?
I'll just go up there. And
real quick, very fast updates for Walla Walla. 3-1-1, Trim and Cooling Strainer spreadsheet. I believe that's been attached to the webpage also.
I can't actually haven't received the bill. When I get it.
Okay, so
will be.
This one,
it will be. That's going to be a standard thing every month. Okay.
Okay.
And then 312, fish ladders are out for service right now. Let's see, started a dam, McNary to the Oregon Shore.
See, this is our track record. All right, I can solve that problem.
Hey, you guys, just a second.
Sorry.
We're giving, go ahead and keep helping her, but Greg, just to give us some time savings here, has given us the updates from Walla Walla, and he's on the ladders out of service and just briefly discussing.
Yeah, what's going on. Yeah, McNary ladder, Oregon Shores, out of service right now for adult or for winter maintenance. That started, of course, the first week of this month.
They used video to look for grading and
didn't
find any issues.
I haven't found any problems at all with that so far. Ice Harbor, it went out also the first of this month, the South Shore ladder. And they did two salvages on that ladder. The first one was on January 2nd or 3rd. And the second was on January 5th down at the turning pole for some reason. They found some more fish in that section there. Little Goose. Oh, wait, I no, Lower Monumental. Also the same thing, first of the month. Turn off the pumps, let them drain down, and he's done the north ladder this time. Ice Harbor. Little Goose, January 3rd. They did just the ladder on January 3rd. They found 22 steelhead with them out. January 9th, they did the powerhouse second the section and only found a P mouth in that thing. And January 10th, they're doing the tunnel section. And so that's going to be completed. Lower Granite. They also worked January 1st, turned the pumps off. On the 3rd, they did the ladder. And on the 4th, they did the powerhouse section. The tunnel section, they're not going to be able to do to leaky bulkheads, but they will be sending a boat into the tunnel section and a video camera to do an inspection of all the gradings at that point. That'll be scheduled later on this month. In a nutshell, that's it. Walla Walla.
Were you going to put a table mug maybe up on the web in terms of what they found, just numbers of fish or something?
Do we need that?
Are people interested in that? I think the only place where there was any number of steelhead, I think there was close to 70 some at McNary, but every place else has been under 10.
Yeah, 20. But
so just for your information, maybe it's not necessary then. Sounds like everybody's okay.
Greg, salvage, so. Rigor salvage, these guys have done it before, you know.
When do you think you can get some bulkheads? So that'd be next year, not this winter?
For
Washington Shore. We're still dealing with the funding issue there. Dave Coleman, the OPM out there, is working that one pretty hard. I don't know. I'm supposed to go talk to him on the 18th about kind of funding issues. Maybe I'll have a better feel then. But I don't know. You know, the funding pot that he needs to request that out of right now, he has another project that we talked about last time, which is the trash rake that is getting funded so that we'll have a new trash rake by the end of the year. And so it's been a matter of prioritizing what is the most critical there. Yeah. So I talked around it a little bit. It has come out of large cap money. Yeah.
And the book has been in trouble for a while.
I think we're getting close, though.
What can we get rid of to help with that?
Oh, yay. Let's see.
Well, it's not just the bulkheads, but there's also leakage that needs to be fixed over there, too. So there's actually two projects.
Yeah.
They come out every time I get an email from Dave Coleman. He has a list of about six things that are his funding needs, and he breaks them down by category so you know for each category what's his. And so he's actively working the issue as best he can.
Yeah, I figured he would. I was checking if it's still a funding issue.
Yeah.
And it's sometimes it's not so much that the capital isn't out there, it's the tail that's needed, so the appropriated money coming up with that specific to the project. So
I know you're matching.
Yeah, that's one of the things that I'm trying to look at within what I have responsibility for. Is there anything, you know, potentially that could and should slip so that we can get some of these infrastructure things done as we tag out in 12 and 13? So they'll probably be some more information on that as we move along. So you're ready now, huh?
Yeah, that one.
Lori?
maybe?
Maybe.
Good. That's how I'm going to get you here, Rick.
What's that?
That's how I'm going to get you here. Having you play night soccer. I get cranky next day.
Well, I'm not cranky at all.
I am.
Bonneville Spillway Rock Removal. In case you don't know, the project manager of this project is Matt Cutts. The technical lead now is me. This is part of the Bonneville Spill Contingency Plan, so it's got two components. It has the original CRFM piece. Randy Lee was the tech lead of that. This is kind of morphed that piece, so now I am the tech lead. We have a slight modification scope growth in the spillway contingency PDT. We have developed interim spill patterns that we're utilizing now if we need to spill that try to prevent ball milling of the rock that's in the spillway. We're in the middle of developing plans and specs. Our plans and specs are supposed to be done by tomorrow. We'll be doing a BECO review next week, and they'll be going out to contract the following week. We've got approval to abbreviate our contracting process. And so basically, normally you have 30 days for advertise. We're going to advertise for a week. Everything is abbreviated and quickly done. Hope to have the contractor in the water in February. After it's all done, we need to develop new spill patterns for high flows. I don't know if the high flows are it's above 200 kcfs spill, but I don't know if it starts at 250 or if it's all the way at 300. But at some point in there, we need to modify the spill patterns. Because in 1997, we didn't put rock in the spillway, and we spilled very similar volumes in 2011. And we're talking some big rocks. We're talking rocks that are the size of baseballs, on up to 3 or 4 feet in diameter. Most of the rock is about basketball size. It's pretty good size stuff. Kind of hard from this one, but this is the 2011 survey. We'll probably come back to this one.
Explain the color.
Yeah, this slide is a little bit better. What you're looking for is the blue and the green, and the area of concern is, so the deflector is about where that gray, the top of the deflector comes straight up, it's about there. This is the first row of baffle blocks, second row of baffle blocks. Now, in Bonneville, from Bay 10 to the south, the second row of baffle blocks is continuous. That happened in 1954. And then there is a vertical drop in the ensill. A lot of places we have a vertical raise in the ensill. In Bonneville project, it's a drop. And so what we did this last year is we put 550 cubic yards of rock between the deflector and the baffle block. And as an example, in Bay 14, we have 170 cubic yards of rock. We also put some rock downstream of the vertical end sill, but
you didn't put it there with
something. The spill patterns that we had this year moved the rock from downstream, from here, wherever the mouse is, from here and here, moved it up. We have routinely, every year, moved about 1,200 to 1,500 cubic yards of rock from over here and over here, and then the next year it goes back over here, and over here and over here and over here and back and forth. But it stayed below the concrete. We need to remove the rock because we don't want to ball mill the concrete. We do not want to eat it up. In particular, we are already monitoring holes at bay 9, 12, and 14. And we do not want to punch through that spillway. Punch through would flood the spillway, requiring a complete cofferdam to fix it. Our current estimate would be the cofferdam, that whole spillway would be $100 to $150 million. And that's just to build the cofferdam so we can fix it.
So we shouldn't fix this anytime soon. We should keep waiting.
Yes.
Until that happens. It's cheaper that way.
It's cheaper, yeah.
Okay. Funding. This is what ball milling can do. This is Dvorak. This picture is taken in 1974. There are 10 to 12 foot holes in this filling basin. Occurred over a couple of years. Now, this particular stilling basin does have a very high vertical end sill.
Dvorak or Bonneville?
That Dvorak. That's Dvorak. Lomo, and I don't remember the exact year, but we had to repair the... Thank you. And that's because we created erosion holes, and I didn't find, because they repaired that one underwater, we don't have any good pictures of it. But... 1954, we dewatered Bonneville, bays 10 through 17. And you can see that the cofferdam, this picture up here, high level pictures. This picture up here shows where the cofferdam was, shows the bath blocks, shows some of the rebar, some of the holes on the piers. Weird little stuff that they fixed. Some pretty good holes, some erosion, destruction of the back blocks. This is what we have right now. This is the hole that we are the most concerned about. This is bay 9. This is towards the 8-9 pier. This is about a 5-foot hole. And you can see the black dots is where we are now with rock.
We filled it in?
Yeah, we filled it in.
What hole?
Ground hole.
We filled it in.
Said that once. Didn't go over very well.
This is bay. This is another image of bay 9. This is taken in 2010. This is from survey data from 2010. And this is from 2011. Notice that we can see some distinct holes in bay 9 in 2010. We see the edge of a hole in 2011. This was an attempt to do a cross-section across here. And you can see how much rock we've kind of piled up in that bay 9. This is the largest pile of debris is kind of in bay 14. And so here's what it looks like in a cross-section just through the bay. And this is what I meant by a vertical drop. We've also accumulated a fair amount of material down here as well. We're not worried about that one. Bay 12, 13, that's the deepest pile of that rock.
Except that that's probably what's feeding what you have up on top.
We have theories, and until we get back into the model, we can't prove our theories. But if you actually look at it, it appears that most, in my opinion, it's not proven yet. This is a Lori, not proven theory. The rock is moved in from the north and south under the 7-foot deflectors, moved in and then moved across. Okay. Probably.
That's interesting. So you're you were going to do a sediment study of some sort with the model, setting up some coal or whatever.
That's how we're going to figure out how
long-term.
To modify those spill patterns.
Well, that's going to be like watching paint dry.
Yeah, I know.
How many months are we going to be down there?
Go out in the field and paint the rocks orange and white.
That's what I was going to suggest.
Do a real prototype study.
So the plan is right now is that we're moving ahead to get a contractor out into the field to remove the rocks. We anticipate that he will be in sometime on or about the 15th of February, and he'll be there until about the 1st of April. Thus, we have... whatever the right words, and I may use the wrong ones, and correct me if I do, we need an extension to the in-water work period in order to work in the month of March. We are not doing anything with the ladder operations at Bay 1 or 18, whatever's going on over there. Our focus is more towards the middle. We do have some work in Bay 17. We had, we yesterday, Yesterday we tried. We did. We didn't try. We actually did a flushing test in basics. The point of that test was to see if, in fact, we could move rocks out hydraulically.
So what did you do exactly?
We opened bay 6. The goal was to 25,000 CFS.
Okay.
We didn't quite get to 25,000 CFS because the gantry crane had a hiccup at 20,000. It decided it didn't want to go any higher. It gets actually more interesting. You all didn't have my day yesterday.
No.
We were concerned about total dissolved gas, and so we were monitoring total dissolved gas. We didn't put a hiccup in the gas at all. We had estimated that we should be able to spill about 50K before we'd start to see an impact in the gas down at Warrenville. The reality is we had so much wind yesterday, you didn't see anything. So we really still don't know how much we can spill and not have a gas issue. But we had no gas issue yesterday. I don't believe we overrid the deflector. I don't think we could override the deflector.
I think your wind's going to make that much difference between Warrendale and...
On the gas, I think it would degas.
Not much. It's too short. It's too short a distance.
How far? 5 miles?
6 miles.
It's just a few miles.
But
it's not like going to Camas Washougal where you have a long surface interface. This is pretty deep. You're talking 70 feet deep all through that section, too.
No, we come up, though. You got to remember that in the spillway channel, you come up to where they only have about 20.
Yeah, that's a short.
Yeah. But anyway, whatever it was, I think we can spill up to 50 and not have a gas issue, but I'm not relying or betting everything on what happened yesterday. It's my opinion. We need to continue to monitor and watch it. But as part of this test, we did a pre and post survey of the rock because the whole point was to move it. And we had a bit of a surprise.
Pulled more up.
More in there.
The rock vacuum cleaner works.
There was no rocks in base 5, 6, or 7. When we got there. Mm-hmm. And then the question was... No. I had video. I have video proof they were there. I have video proof the rocks were there. What happened was in November, 3rd through 10th, we spilled an interim spill pattern that was developed because of Bradford Island. Mm-hmm. And we apparently were able to flush the rocks out. Well... You've got to remember two things. It's the lateral flow, and we moved it in. So we have moved the rocks towards bay 8, 9, and 10, and off. And we're not sure what we're going to do with that information. We're still processing this. And we also have a different situation to the south because we have a continuous baffle block. So we're... Yeah, we don't know if it'll hop over. We don't know if there would be an advantage to trying to operate some spill on the south side to see if we can't move the rocks towards the center, so we're reducing the time of operation, you know, reducing the amount of times the contractor has to reset up. If we can narrow his base, we provide ourselves more opportunity to spill during the course of the contract and all that kind of stuff. So... we're having a lot of discussion. We didn't expect yesterday to do exactly what it did. We did continue with the test because the thought was we might be able to, one, we'd get a measure of the TBG, and two, we thought we would see movement of the rocks at 7 or 8, and we saw nothing. We didn't touch 7 or 8. But we are moving ahead with the contract to move the rocks. We go to BPA next week. We've already requested it,
so
half and half.
So your methodology is going to be completely with flow, sweeping it out.
I would say our current thought process is we're going to be using a hydraulic backhoe with divers. We'll have divers in the water 24/7.
Okay. Okay.
It'll be a very diver-intensive operation.
We'll need to get, I mean, if need to explain all this, write it all up, the details of it.
The contractor, we have, the contractor's proposals are basically to tell us how to do it. How we have proposed to do it is with a hydraulic backhoe with divers.
How does that work? What's a hydraulic backhoe?
So they're going to physically remove it.
It's a backhoe that's, instead of using a clamshell, which you have little physical control on where he's positioned, it's a backhoe that's on a hydraulic actuator.
An arm?
It's an excavator, with, mm-hmm. and so you have much tighter control over its XY position.
So does the diver tell it where to go? I mean, is he talking to the guys that go to the right or the left?
Possibly, but really more importantly, he's down there making sure he's not hanging up on rebar. So we anticipate that he can freely activate and pick up rocks until he gets close to the surface of the concrete.
So how big is this scoop on this thing? I mean, how much of a rock can they take? Is this one rock at a time, or are they going to be able to really get wet?
We can't.
Well, I mean, time. How long is this going to take?
Yeah. 3 days per bay is our estimate.
So what if it goes late and it goes into April 8th and you don't have all the rock removed, it's April, do you just stop or do you continue?
Well, that's for us to say. I mean, that's...
our call.
Yeah, let's. We need. What we need is the details, I guess, of what you plan to do.
And tell the contractor, tell... The point is, we've got...
That's fine. We got time.
The contractor's bids are going to be due in... We're hoping to award the contract on the 3rd of February, at which time we will know what the contractor is proposing to do.
Okay. Somewhere in there, in that process, we need to know what is going to happen so that we can say, yeah, we're okay with it or not. And okay, that
we need to know before the contract
that gets in, you know, you're...
Know what?
What you're going to do. Asking for the specifics of the methodology that you want to use so that they can approve, or if they have issues that they want to ask you for alterations before you... But what you're kind of coming back is you may have to just do a mod because of your process for evaluating. She's speechless.
Well, it's not that I'm speechless, it's that...
So the standard process is that the region gets an opportunity to weigh in on something that like this so that... there's kind of a form
impacts.
Of consultation.
Need to tell us
they've
what you're
given
do.
Their sanction, their approval, that it's okay to go out there and do this.
Go out there. The problem I'm having is the decision is made. There is no spill till the rocks are in. Or any spill pattern that we elicit will be based on not moving the rocks.
Okay.
Okay. So
write that all up. We need to see what you what the what the what.
I haven't heard that.
Yeah, I know. I haven't either heard. All this stuff is new, so we need to know what's driving it, what you're proposing to do, what you can and can't do. That interest fill pattern I've never seen. I have no idea what that is. You say it's already developed. I didn't know that. So
the
I'd like
one
to know
for
what
now,
the interim for the one that you just showed up on the board. You said there's an interim spill pattern that has been
now.
Developed. Right.
Now,
what is that?
It's for what to do between now and the rocks.
But what is that pattern? I haven't seen that pattern.
So
I've developed every spill pattern that we've had out of Bonneville or been involved in that, so I'd like to know what that is and what the effect is.
I can't.
You need to work with the folks in Portland, fill out a coordination form, and attach what your spill pattern that you're recommending is to that.
RCC has the new spill patterns. I can't.
Okay, So from RCC, as they fill out a coordination form to send out to these folks with more information, you're providing a lot of the background and what you see as the path forward. What they're asking for is the details on what you're really going to do. And you're saying, until we award a contract, we don't know, because several contractors may come back. They may all suggest different ways to go about doing this. But when you get to a point where you're ready to accept one, you're doing your review, then it's appropriate to go out to these folks and let them know what your plan is, and with some details.
But you've got details too now. I mean, you're telling the contractors a time frame, how much material you're going to remove, some semblance of a schedule.
The vehicle plans will be available Tuesday or Wednesday. And that has a definition with the drawings. the actual net that the contractor will use to remove the rocks is a contractor decision.
All right, who are you working with in your planning section? Who's the biologist in charge of this?
There probably isn't one right now because it'd be Schwartz, right?
Schwartz. Well,
and his detail hasn't come in. So I'll work with you on
that. You need that person to develop this for you. They need to go through and develop all the answers to the questions that fishery folks are going to have. Because we still need to know, I mean, unless you're just telling us and that's the end of it. But
I'm kind of getting that feeling.
Well, that was her and I'm trying to
get. You're asking for more. Tammy has said she will work with Lori to get some more information out. So I think that'll be the path forward.
This will go a lot smoother if we have all the details.
If we had all the details, I would be.
But I don't even have the details that you have right now. All I've got is just little bits of information. I'd like to. This needs to be lined out from A to B. And, you know, what you need to do, how much stuff, why, what patterns you're going to use, what you're going to have to do. If you don't get this out, you need to tell us, well, okay, we can't spill this year, or we're going to spill with one bay only, or two bays.
Let me just say, the priority for the district at the moment is to get the contract on the street so we can spill April 10th. That is the priority of the
district. I understand.
And I don't believe you want me to change that.
But I'm hearing alternatives, and I don't want you to change that.
Alternatives.
Yeah.
He doesn't know the method yet, so until you nail that down, most likely they'll all be excavators.
It's
the highest likelihood. You're not going to let him do a scoop bucket. You're not going to bring in a drag.
No.
I have a draft coordination form started, but I never got
dynamite
feedback or more details. So we'll just add the more details, and then we can send it out.
Okay.
And we can move on.
Yes, and this has been
basic stuff.
Developing. That's why I was trying to get her moved up on the agenda, because I've been really putting in the hours on the end. So I appreciate all the work you've been up to this point.
Yeah.
And our time should be a little bit better starting next week.
Okay.
Thanks for bringing this up.
So are you guys going to do any more experiments of spill patterns to the rocks at all, or?
We don't know yet. The team hasn't had a chance to have a conversation to make a recommendation.
Can you just keep us in the loop on those, you know, as you come up with decisions on this? Or?
Just send information to Tammy.
This test came up on 2 days ago.
I know.
So it is happening. For example, the maybe what we would want to do next would only be discussed later today. I mean, we haven't even. I mean, it's everything is happening very quickly, and we will do our best.
Still keep us in the loop, please. That's
Tammy will be the conduit.
Or whoever does,
but
I don't know.
Planning bio, it makes it a little bit harder, but
right. You need whether whoever that's going to be needs to be your liaison, but you don't have one, so. Doesn't mean we still don't need to coordinate.
I agree that we need to give you the information we have.
Right. And what you're planning to do. Yes. Yes. At least, you may not know exactly, but at least let us know what you're planning to do, what you're thinking.
We can tell you what we're requiring the contractor to do.
Yeah, that's part of it.
Yes. Their exact methods, I'm not sure.
I understand that.
It's too bad this contractor can't have some adverse impacts to the sea lions.
Oh, just to complicate
for a small
things,
fee.
Yeah?
Or anything it out.
Careful what you say.
Yeah, I have to consult them.
Let's cover that up here. Those are stellars that are out there.
Good luck.
Wow.
18
right now.
Thank you, Lori.
Yeah,
thanks,
are they coming in right now?
Yeah,
already.
Okay, thanks.
Been trickling in.
How close are 18 out there right now? And I've got you to go out.
Good update. Even though everyone always wants more than what you can.
Well, our corporate board is the same way, so that's where I'm going next.
All right.
Good luck.
So
this might be a good point to also say Dennis Schwartz has moved on to a new position.
Oh, really?
Oh, good.
Yeah. The chief of operations at Bungle Dam.
Really?
No longer with us.
Oh, right. Bonneville.
gone to the mechanical side of biologist.
Watch out.
We're going to Dennis a biologist. You guys hear Tammy, who the backfill for Dennis is going to be? John Mears will be temporarily backfilling. He's starting later this month. Backfill for Dennis. Thanks for bringing that up, Scott. John Rearshitz, he's one of the bios from Bonneville. So maybe this is the last move because Dennis has been in and out, you know, doing things all along, but I think this is where he really wanted to go all along, too. So
yeah, he did it for a while.
Yeah,
he's been planning this for 10
years. Yeah, yeah, it's a good thing for him. So. Looks like everybody's ready for a break.
Break time.
So why don't we take like a 10-minute break
and set us more.
We have one meeting.
Good, so
probably about the time I get back tomorrow morning.
Lori, I want to see what skill patterns you've got.
No, we don't have any.
I will email you what they are. They go to 63. They were developed over the holidays when we had that high rain. So
okay.
They go to 63, I think.
Yeah, I just haven't seen them. I'd like to see those.
So, yes, I will send them to you
okay.
As soon as
just
I get back.
Just send an email. Yeah, don't worry. Just whenever you get a chance. We may never need them, but I just want to know what.
I don't think we will use them.
Yeah.
You want to ruin the base. Turns out we clean the base.
Yes, it
does. Just like to keep on top of it. It's my job.
I don't know. There were people who knew, and I will send them to you. I don't. They were out there.
Why don't we take it on? We'll take care of that. You keep on your own mission. We'll handle that.
Okay.
Sorry, super the workout.
That's part of the main mission.
Keep us informed. Well, that's the course problem. Yeah. Well, we've been knowing. This is nothing new at all. So, this is nothing new. We've known this for so long. No, that's not really new either. That's happened. We know we have the holes. That Bonneville spillway's been a survival as well as a maintenance issue long time. So the fire drill I'm not too appreciative of. You know, it's get her done on time. Part of the infrastructure that we've all got to deal with. Bonneville Dam's not going anywhere. It's going to be there a long time, I hope. I don't want it to fail while I'm sitting out there. I know, she has. I've seen that. She's been burning the hour. Well, that's not good. Management needs to understand that that's not a good thing. Yeah, she doesn't need to be the whole team on this thing. I don't know what Randy's doing, but Randy can be involved in that. It's not our place. Yeah, well, she's good, no doubt about it. You've been served. I didn't get it out in time. There you go, no surprise. There's no surprise because I brought this up already in a federal forum discussion. You weren't there, but Nick was there, and Skidmore was there, and what's his name? Holly.
Glad we got the form with Marvin resolved. Thanks for coming up with a solution.
Okay, yeah, I think I talked to him this morning and tried to get them. We've been missing each other over and over and over.
Yesterday we were like pointing fingers at how much fault it is. What is going on? And from my perspective, it got kind of weird. We had to start shutting down these folks when they wanted to start coming here and for us to pay for their other stuff.
Yeah, they don't need to be here at all. That's you get two districts and it's totally different in the process. Yeah.
And that's what, just one of the many places where we have the same one. It sounds like we have one that works down there, so we'll work on that.
Yeah, I think we're satisfied with it. It's what we wanted to have set up. I just think that maybe the overview section of the Fish Passage Plan could maybe have a couple of more lines in there about ESA compliance. It doesn't really say that if the coordination form is completed and approved, that it's ESA, now it's compliance with the biop. You guys might want to look at that and just say,
next Friday, that
right. We might want to look at that and see if there's a line or two that could be added in there. There's a coordination section that was actually redone. I think Red Turner actually rewrote that a few years ago, division. Yeah, it's in the overview section. So it's in the first chapter of the Fish Passage.
Okay.
I think that's probably going to need a couple more lines in there just to clarify that. I think that is satisfied with what Marvin was concerned about.
Did he actually write up some sentences to you originally? Or?
No, I haven't seen anything. He just wanted, he had read that, he said, and he said that just didn't really do it for him. And I said, well, that's the intent of it. So, if you guys need more language in there, then let's put it in and approve it. That way then it's clear to anybody who's reading.
Okay. The other thing that's does anybody have any issues? We had kind of a request for one of the projects, and I haven't written this up yet either, whether we should have a separate section for incidental fish, because now George came to FPOM a couple years ago, got permission to move adult lamprey up into the Four Bay, but there's starting to be some other lamprey things. We're starting to wonder whether we should have another appendix separate just for other.
It's not a bad idea. Either that or from the main body of the plan, if there's...
Right now, I think he has it in Little Juice specifically, but as we see it in Broad, we're starting to wonder whether we should just have a place specifically to address...
Two ways of doing it. One would be to have it in an appendix. The other way is just to infuse it all the way across, because it is a fish passage plan, not a salmon passage plan. So, I think maybe intended to be salmon, in some eyes, but...
Pretty prioritized and focused there, but...
Well, we could broaden that. If there's... It may be better that way, just to make sure there's no conflicting...
Well, to be honest with you, that's what we're finding is if we don't have it as a separate section, then we get coverage at one project, and people start to assume that we have that coverage at all projects, but we don't have it written in as that coverage. We found another place specific to the way that we operate late in the season, where we had coverage for what we would do at low flows at a couple of the projects, but we didn't have it written in at the other one.
Yeah, that's consistency. No, that's fine. That's let's just make sure. I just appendix is fine, but if we can put it in the body, that's better. The body of the plan, I think. If it's unless it's really a sidebar, it doesn't sound like it is. It sounds like it's operational issues for particular times of the year, for particular systems, ladder or whatever, bypass.
Right now, I don't want to broaden what George is doing at Little Houston on the project unless I have a chance to talk to the other bios.
Oh, that's
George
fine.
George is going to come to the FPP meeting too.
Okay.
Maybe we'll have a little more discussion on
okay.
this.
Okay.
Did you get that?
Oh, you're getting it now.
I didn't know where you were.
Yeah, I sent it back to you. I responded to you on the 15th of December. I don't know what happened, but I responded saying that I dumped through all my papers where I could find everything. So I don't know what's going on with that.
I said, if you need to redo it, that's redo it. I think I set a couple other things in there too. And that one, you know, right about that time, when I was switching emails. Noah, all Noah switched email from Thunderbird to Google Gmail. So that was.
Let's
keep going. Yeah, big way. So things could have got lost in the process there. Because I saw you ask me again a while back, and I didn't respond because I thought, well, you know, I sent such a specific email on that, so I thought maybe you just hadn't looked at it yet. But yeah, I dug through all of my papers, everything I could find. I found nothing. Yeah, look at that. If not, let's just redo it. And as far as that schedule for stuff goes,
there's new information.
I thought the last one was more flexibility, second one's recent. I don't want to get into voting every meeting.
So let's get going, finish up the updates. Basically, the next one was from Portland. Winter maintenance schedules are out on the website, so there's not really much else in the way of an update there. I don't think we have anybody here wanting to address the sea lion trapping.
No, that's me.
Okay.
I put it on there because the researcher updates, if we don't have somebody from planning to update or consider WIG, I will let you know which researchers have submitted their request for access and sea lions have done that and they've been given approval. All it is an update.
You guys requested us to do it, so don't blame it on us.
What?
I'm just saying.
He is cranky, isn't he?
Okay.
Also, under these updates, though, we can address the AFF pit tag installation item that Mr. Lors brought to our attention.
I just saw the delightful email exchange between certain individuals.
Right, because it's not going in this year.
Oh.
So there you go. And we don't even have a design for the exit to the Braille pool, so having a pit tag detector already built seemed a little premature.
Well, there's the Corps' opinion.
Well, that's the Corps' opinion.
That's the opinion I got.
That is the opinion, period.
He's not there anymore, so who's the new one?
He's still there until the end of the month.
I'm pretty sure we can't get it in time. That's 4 points.
Wait, you want to put the pit tag detector in the old... From my understanding,
right.
Jeff thought that we were putting in a new Braille pool exit, and we are not putting in a new Braille pool exit this year. We don't have funding to do it. There's no plans and specs to do it. And he wanted the new pit tag detector in the new exit, which does not exist.
We thought you were going to put one in. How do you do it?
You thought wrong.
Look at that. There was an assumption of lightning speed to get something done. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, this meeting is coming down.
We told people all this time we don't have funding.
Ask for your clarification and you get...
So that's your update there.
No money.
The Bond JMF saltwater facility, that has it's on its way to being deconstructed.
When?
We are getting the money for Lyle to start, well, this FY.
So there would be an opportunity to use it for next year, then?
No.
You're not going to be able to do it during this year. You're getting the money this now.
Yeah. Langsley has some money for Lyle to start, and it's going to... It hasn't been maintained. It's not like it's up and running or anything.
There's not a lot to maintain.
There is. There's more than you think.
All we need is, like, 4 tanks.
And you want the salt water? If, do you just want tanks, or you want the whole seawater?
Well, the thought was... We talked about 5 years ago to do saltwater recondition of kelts to look at, is that a viable methodology that would do a quicker recondition, especially with the skip generation of kelts, put them back in the estuary and do it much quicker. And so you lose most of your kelts when they enter the estuary. So the thought is, if you saltwater challenge them, get them up to speed, you can return the estuary sooner. It'd be a much quicker way to get a kelt net.
So the answer is yes, he would want to use the saltwater portion.
Yeah.
Probably.
So you'd want to gradually acclimate and then...
That would be the thought.
Yeah.
So what are you asking for, Tom? I mean, that sounds like a research. So
exactly. So I want to say before my guys waste their time putting in an SRWG one page proposal,
same place.
Is this facility even viable to use? Right. That was the question.
So
at this point, it is on the path for deconstruction this year.
This year?
Deconstruction?
Deconstruction. It was supposed to come out almost 10 years ago, mind you, so this has been a very slow path, and we're actually making progress.
But it's been used repeatedly for the past, the last time, it was used 2 years ago.
He's the one who's going to deconstruct it. I mean, it hasn't, the saltwater side of it hasn't been used. Some of the tanks have been used.
Right.
Yeah.
But the saltwater side of it is going to be deconstructed. And some tanks may remain in the JMF, but some of those may be used elsewhere.
So what's the big rush to get rid of it then, if there's a possible research use for it?
Well, there's been no money to maintain it. The annual maintenance was people were asking for was a couple hundred thousand dollars a year, and that hasn't
that
been forthcoming.
They cost everything a lot.
Well,
I was going to support you, but now forget it.
The one thing that maybe you could keep talking with Tammy about is as they're pulling things apart here, if there's portions of that you would want to reuse when you do future research and you would just reinstall them, that might be an option, right? Because, we're just going to...
If you sweet talk Baron, maybe he'd let you take some things.
I'll buy him a beer.
Buy him a beer and he'll give you the salt water. The whole facility here. You maintain it.
You have to bring the trucks to.
You probably wouldn't take a beer for that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. I will pass on to my researchers and see if that's something they're interested in pursuing.
Okay. Thanks, Tammy. So.
I have a question for Tammy.
Okay.
Yeah, I went online here where it says that the schedules were available on the website. So I went to the website and it says 2011-2012 dewater schedules, but it takes you to the plans, not the schedules. You might want to check that.
Okay, so you don't actually find the schedules that you were expecting.
Well,
it's going to all the plans, which could be as old as 2005 and things like that.
Those aren't schedules.
The title says 2010 plans, but some of the plans are pretty old.
Hold on.
And there's no schedule for dewatering.
Wasn't there just a table for the whole... We had a table.
Yeah, we had a table.
We had a table, and I thought that theirs was on that one-page table. It just gave the dates for everything when it was skimmed down. Was it just wall-to-wall?
Yeah, ours was just wall-to-wall.
All right, Dave, I'll fix that.
Okay, thanks, Dave.
To look at, because I'm just not finding anything like that.
All right, so look for an update in a day or so.
And the other thing is, do you say that all those unwatering plans are... 5-10 years old?
No.
No, they're deep.
Because we get them all last year.
No, they're not those kind of plants. They're not your winter maintenance schedules.
Well, yeah.
Just the dewatering plans, and he's looking in the Bonneville or the Portland District section.
Oh, okay. Holy.
Take a couple deep breaths, Tammy.
Okay. Now we're going to let
Tammy.
Everybody
needed to have a little more
rest.
Sleep last night, I think.
And we're going to move Boots and Dog for his RCC update.
We're going to call these meetings off, and every time, we'll check on everybody's sleep patterns.
In a minute, she's going to rise above the table, taking deep breaths, and she'll be hovering over there.
Everyone else
has left the conference.
That's easy. Take off. You can
take off.
Hold on,
Tammy.
You can cut
them
off.
Throw them away.
RFC forecast for the next 10 days. Lower Granite, day 1, 25 KCFS, day 5, 26, and day 10, 30.
I did not get lower.
Priest Rapids, day 1, 115, day 5, 80, and day 10, 97. McNary, day 1, 140, day 5, 109. Day 10, 134. In Bonneville, day 1, 142. Day 5, 117. And day 10, 148. Any questions?
Are they still calling for a higher than average flow here?
Hey, I'll bet it'll come. It'll come.
It's 80%.
December. It's January.
It's getting late.
But you look at last year.
Yeah, I know. I saw what happened. We started from a lot higher point.
I mean, yeah, once you got the end of March, it really took off.
Oh, completely.
If that happens again, I'm just going to jump out a window.
I completely agree with you how late it is, but it's just...
You're calling for that.
Yeah. Well, I'll
hold you responsible personally.
I think it'll come. It'll just be extremely late.
It's going back up again, and there's anticipating some heavy rain in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, a couple of weeks.
The long range forecast is not looking that good, at least for the 10 days.
Are they going skiing? Are they planning to ski?
Let's
go to Alaska to ski.
Cordova.
I got it.
That's
the place.
Yep. Send their shovels.
Go north.
I think it's about another month out before you're going to go anything off of an average flow year, right? I mean, right now, we just asked the hydrology at our office just last Friday, and they were still on average flow year, but it could change, was kind of the comment.
Yeah, the end of January, that's usually things start to firm up.
Sure.
People are looking out the window, and it's definitely... Beautiful days.
Yeah, it isn't raining anywhere. 72 degrees in Pendleton, and we could go.
Lots of high pressure systems. It's breaking. You get stuck in low pressure system for weeks.
It can happen. It does happen.
Okay. Scott, do you have any updates? Does BPA have any updates?
Not that I'm aware of in the transmission world.
Okay.
The winter maintenance schedules have been updated on the web now.
Dave, did you hear that?
He left.
Oh, he left. Oh, okay. Okay, so our next topic is George John Day South Fish Pumps.
Okay. Boy, this is a fun but rough group, man.
Yeah, I don't think I want to. Why don't we just leave? You and I are both going to get chewed up here in the next few minutes.
Basically, we're here to ask to make an adjustment to the requested fish ladder outage. We submitted that request a while back, but I'd like to provide a little bit of context. I've got Jay Dallas here, who's technical lead for this project, to give any specific details. But basically, as you folks know, the John Day fish pump has been out for numerous years. I want to say a little less than 10 years, but still it's been out for quite some time. We're currently in the rehab process. We're scheduled to have it completed by the 28th of February. Thereabouts, we have run into some technical problems. We submitted those problems to you earlier on at an earlier request. Basically, we've had some parts that were delivered, some components that were delivered late. That were delivered late because of weather conditions back east. We've also had other technical issues associated with our gearboxes and whatnot. So, in short, we've had some problems. In order for us to get this thing up and running, to be in full compliance utilizing all three fish pumps, we were asking that we make an adjustment to that request. I think, Jay, if you can speak to some of the particulars and kind of brief them a little bit on what exactly it is that we're asking for.
I'm Jay Dallas, working in the mechanical design section in Portland District. Since our last request to get the South Fish Ladder outage from, I think it's scheduled now, 21 January to 3 February, our contractor has run into a few problems. His first shipment out from Ohio was delayed about 3 days. One of their trucks broke down. The turbine was on that shipment, so that was delayed getting out on site. Once they arrived on site, some of the mounting flanges for the turbine and the pump that weren't supposed to be painted were painted by the project, and so we had to spend a few days removing that paint just to make sure everything will align properly once it's installed. Another issue we ran into is that the gearbox that we got supplied with a different contract has a different mounting bolt hole pattern than it was supposed to have.
You almost predicted.
So that's So that's about a week delay. He's has to get a special drilling machine shipped out from Michigan, and they're supposed to get that on site here. So I guess the bottom line is that we've run into some technical issues on site. And right now, the contractor's not projected to be able to water up Unit 3 until 13 February. And so that's obviously after the the date the South Fish Ladder is supposed to be returned to service. So I guess what we're really requesting is...
James T. Kirk.
I'm
doing
the conference.
Hi, Scotty,
full power.
Yeah, this is Dave Will. I dropped off the line.
We know.
The lithium crystals broke down, I see.
Yeah. Don't have enough power.
Or coffee, in this case, I guess.
Yeah, so to get back to it, I guess.
Where'd you go with that? Thanks, Dave.
We moved to John Day South Fish Pumps, and they're talking about the need for an extended time period in the work window to get the new fish pump in place.
Okay, I need to get I'm trying to get some. The units.
I figured everybody needed a laugh. What the heck?
You got it.
The unit three, or the turbine three, back when. On, if you set a date of
That's when they're projected to be ready to water up is 13 February.
13, okay.
So that's when we could remove the bulkheads on the discharge and get water back to the unit. So I guess what we're requesting is to shift, we're not asking to extend the outage for more than the two-week period, but to shift the time period of the outage. And we would like it ideally to be 13 February to 2 weeks after that, like 24 February, I think that is. That way, if there's any additional delays, hopefully it'll still fall in that window when we can water up the unit and remove the bulkheads in the dry condition.
So what situation do we have out there now? The ladder's running, south ladder, south shore running?
It's right now it's running, unit pumps 1 and 2.
1 and 2 are running, the ladder's up, we're meeting criteria. So, but still pretty close. I don't see, we have in the past met with criteria with two pumps. That's
We've been able to hold criteria.
Yeah, so I don't see a fish passage issue here at all, really. This looks no problem from our standpoint.
So the request was later this month they would take the south ladder out and we would have the dual ladder outage. Mm-hmm. And so now the request is to move that dual ladder outage to February.
Dual ladder out, because see, that's what we're trying to establish.
So the north will still be down?
North is down because of the
monsoon. I thought it might be back by
February, end of February. No. So we'll have a dual ladder outage in,
That's a bigger issue.
That's an Oregon issue, as far as I'm concerned. That's what the.
Don't give them heads.
Mm-hmm.
Don't give them heads. Don't hence why that's an Oregon issue.
But we've had that issue. When we requested that outage, all we're asking is that we just shift it.
So he's saying he's already got a dual ladder outage that he's gotten approved.
Shifting
like
from the first 2 weeks
shift
from the first two weeks in February to the latter 2 weeks in February.
Yeah,
that's correct.
So what?
That
should be pretty minor, really, in terms of what's moving at this point in time.
Well, it's steel.
Wise.
It's steel. And we did a dual ladder outage.
That was in January. That was in the last first 2 weeks of January. I don't know what year it was. You know the year's better than I do. What year was that?
Past discussions, you guys were concerned about going much further than January due to steelhead.
You start getting overwinter steelhead movement, in especially late February, early March. So this would be an impediment for those fish for the duration of the outage. A couple weeks. It's not, I just don't know.
But aren't our water temperatures a little warmer this year?
They are a little bit,
so
but
fish
it stays
would be,
that way.
If they were going to move in earlier than what you're
That's not helping us
well.
Any because the earlier it is. I mean, that earliness, that's the early. You don't want
so
to go there.
For 2 weeks, even if they're moving earlier, especially if they're moving earlier.
Well, yeah, that even makes it worse because they'll move later.
They didn't block them for a period of time. They're just wondering if the increased number that are blocked.
I'm recalling this a little bit, I think. I mean, I think we had a fair bit of consternation about allowing that two-week outage even in early February.
Oregon did, yeah. One of your biologists out there really got concerned about that.
But the other alternative is not to get it in all and just have two pumps through the whole season. I mean, we have to get it in. So it doesn't sound like it can be done any sooner.
Well, the only question is, when is North Shore coming back online?
I think that's scheduled
mid-March.
Yeah, we pushed that one out. March,
well, that's why I was thinking if that one.
If they got it done sooner.
Yeah, if that one got done sooner, then
done sooner enough.
I'd go to with one ladder operation for a little bit of a month.
Sure, well, that'd be fine.
Yeah,
one ladder'd be fine.
So the dual outage would be 13th February, 24th February.
Especially with some spill.
Exactly. 27th. They were saying 2 weeks, but yeah.
Well, I mean, that, you know, as always, we need to look at the data that we have and see what the impact is. And we don't.
And Fisher,
we
talking during that.
Yeah, has anybody done an evaluation of that? Because when we talked, I was thinking, I wasn't remembering the dual outage, so I thought we were going to have a lab. So this is dual outage.
We need a change form with some biological background prepared and submitted, I think.
We need to know what the impact is. Take a look at that. I know that it's the other opposite. The other issue would be to not have that pump available for that period of time, which is an issue in itself. But
well, what about the other thing is, if you say North back in mid-March, find out if there's any way to get that maybe back a little bit earlier. Even if not, would we be fine to go with one ladder operation in March, last 2 weeks of March?
Yeah, I was thinking push it back, get those early winter fish out of there, and then there's the lull.
Yeah.
But nothing happens up there much in the last couple of weeks of March. Now they won't be there.
That's it.
You can find the biggest hole in the data.
Yeah, that's you look for the biggest hole in the data and say, let's do it there.
How soon do you need an answer?
Yeah. Pretty quickly. I understand the concerns, and I'm certainly not wanting to come off like an alarmist, but the two other pumps that are currently in play have not been rehabbed in 40 years.
So those
we did an analysis.
That's the risk analysis.
Yeah, we did an analysis on that, and they are at risk. And I know that we've requested funds for the rehab of at least one of them, and it's been denied. So we're gimping along. So the concern
that
I've got is
the status of those. Cause we've been working on these things for quite a while. I mean, there's been issues. It's those right angle.
Yeah, well, we turned into one, and then we ran into all
those right angle joint issues and replaced those. But it's the turbine itself that you're talking about.
Well, it's the turbine, the gearbox, and the pump. So we're looking at a full rehab.
No, I think we're trying to get you in there. We're trying to figure out how we can.
Yeah.
Where do you want to take the 2 week outage of the South Ladder?
So what I hear you guys saying is, in order to help us, we need to help ourselves help you, or reverse that, help you help us by providing you with biologic data. Is that
so? Who's the?
That would be Meryl.
So that'll be a do out that Tammy and Bert will have to take back to somebody in planning, probably, or something, right?
And
or are you guys?
Well, I already have the coordination form with the data that we had available for.
The last time, yeah.
Message. Oh. Matt, we don't have.
Do you want it? Do you have it up in the screen? Or?
It was in their last coordination form, so you bet.
Okay.
Yeah.
You didn't have last.
So
you don't have last 2 weeks of February. Do you have March data?
I do. I have March data, and the first 2 weeks of March looked pretty good for fish passage. But then, you get later, low numbers of fish passage, and then. Because we also originally were trying to coordinate a potential outage so that you guys could get into this, I think, the next pump, when we were going to have to take the ladder down briefly to get into the next pump. So I had all that information in there as to what fish passage would look like. And that's when we said that, well, we can't take it out unless the north ladder is back up and running. And so we're looking at the first couple days in April, possibly, when we're going to do that. So we do have that information, and the conversations at the time, and you guys were pretty adamant about it, is that you going even to the 3rd of February was a huge fight.
Right, I know.
Yeah.
That's why I'm pushing it back. I'm not giddy about it. That's why I was wondering, is it better to wait till mid-March when you at least have one ladder back and then do the two-week outage then?
How does having the north ladder really help us? I mean, those fish get up into the south area, and they don't find
without
their
spill,
way.
It's not the best.
Yeah, no
yeah they don't find their way back out of there, do they?
They'll find it eventually. But
yeah, they'll move over.
Steelhead are pretty good.
Pretty active.
Out of where?
Out of the cul-de-sac of where the south ladder is.
No, this is John Day.
Oh, is it John Day? Oh,
it's John Day.
On the wrong project.
Yeah. So John Day is. They'll move across. It's just that it's the attraction isn't the same, and there's. They got to sort of ooze over there to find
it. So put a spill on this, right. And we'll give it to you.
Okay. Icing on the cake.
I like that.
I was going to say only five. I was being generous.
Fish going the other way, or
fishing with tail rigs. You never know, they just maybe they want to go.
We can go one way, the way we're talking about.
If you spill one bay, I mean, that's done in the fall.
Yeah. I know. That's part of the reason we do it.
Yeah, for attraction. I mean, if we were down to one ladder, I think I would ask that.
Go back and add a little bit more
diversity. Yeah, no, that's, yes, Scott.
So, I guess the question is, are there options? What are the options? Is this the only time frame, or if they want to switch it later, can that be done?
The other thing that I would throw in the mix is, I'm not getting warm and fuzzies. This contractor knows where to put his holes.
Right.
And so, getting it done sooner will, I don't know, get the next problem exposed or done. You know, waiting till April and then hoping the guy puts the holes in the right place and makes the thing fit right.
More risk that you're going to be into a season when we have more fish coming.
Longer into the season when you really don't want to have it out.
Yeah.
So I can see us trying to fine-tune it, but to the point where we might hurt ourselves, mm-hmm. given the track record of the contractor today.
It's a good contractor, by the way. The whole situation was we had two contractors that were in play, two separate contracts. So it was a contractual issue. It's an excellent contractor that we've got.
So the painter and the truck driver.
The painter and the contractor. Those were our own folks. I mean, we could throw stones at this if we want to, but I think that given where we are, given where we started and where we are, I think it's a huge accomplishment.
So are you pretty comfortable they can get it done in the 2-week window, no matter where we put it?
I won't offer my first child, but I think that it's pretty confident.
Okay.
I'd offer mine, but I don't know. So what's the, I mean, I guess we need a big decision. I mean, this last 2 weeks of February acceptable?
I don't think that we're going to make a decision sitting here.
Yeah,
how about if Tammy updates with adult passage data in the old form, but some new information relevant to the new time frame?
The adult passage information is not the best. I'd like to, there's that, plus the steelhead, overwintering steel, kefir bogs, or kefir.
Oh, there you go.
Information needs to be looked at, too, to look at when fish were moving through that area. That's radio tracking information. Looking at the species of concern here is summer steelhead that are overwintering in the Columbia River, and they start moving about that time. So we just want to look at their timing and how many fish might be impacted by this and what the effect.
And weigh it with the risk, because I mean, if you're running two during the season and one goes down, then we're in big trouble.
We're saying we want to get this up.
I'm not saying you've got to have both sides of an argument developed.
You got to weigh both sides. Yep.
So you develop one side, you develop the other side. That's the risk assessment of failure, and if those pumps are 50 years old and on the, on the verge of potentially losing them, then obviously that's going to be a driving force. So, but that's the balance that decision makers want to look at is, okay, well, what's the effect and what's the
Is this information I can pull together by like tomorrow at 1? I mean, because you don't have a lot of time.
Well, I'm not going to be here tomorrow at 1, so...
That would be a Tammy question. I don't know what you can facilitate with other people that are around back there.
What do you want to do with it? Who needs to sit down and talk again so we can get hammer this out? It's not going to be able to wait until our next meeting.
Yeah, I like what you're saying. Yeah.
No, but it can wait until, better wait until Tuesday. Next Tuesday.
Gary, which study did you want looked at? Because I know in one of them I had included the overwintering distribution behavior and survival of the...
That should have been Kefir and Boggs.
Boggs, there was two papers.
And this one they were both authored on.
Right. There's two. Boggs was the primary author on one, Kefir the other. They were both regarding overwintering. I don't remember which one dealt with which issue. So if you have my memos from the Dalles sluiceway operation, food fight we had a couple of years ago, that I summarized both.
So there's no fish count data during that period?
There's fish count data, but you don't get the whole picture of who these fish are with fish count data. So you get abundance, but you don't get...
I thought you already knew who they were. You said they were summer overwintering fish. So.
Right.
So the numbers should, if they're all...
Well, in February? Do we have February counts?
We don't have February.
It's going to be tough,
but March. March 2007, we counted.
There's like 2 years of number of counts.
I think 2003.
March, we counted from 03 to 07.
And what did, do you remember what the distribution looked like? Did it start high and go low, or did it start low and go
it's
high?
It starts low and goes high.
Oh, my God.
Through time.
Can you see it?
No.
Oh, yeah. So this, we're wasting our time.
Okay, so it starts low. So sometime in late February or
get
March.
Get it out in front of you.
Probably prefer.
Put it together.
Is that what it looks like?
So let's go ahead and move off of it then and keep moving.
Yeah.
And
we say
the do-out will be.
Yeah.
If you can get us the information, I can get you back a response by Wednesday. If you give me the date on Tuesday.
Okay. So does that help with your time frame? Did you have?
I don't have one. It's
George. Does that help with George's time frame?
Well,
middle of next week?
The sooner the better, of course. Okay. I mean, next Wednesday is the best what we can do.
Maybe
that's the best
if
we can
Tammy
do.
Needs help, you can put some pressure on whoever she needs to rely on to help get assistance in getting this together.
I think it's just the timing of the outage that we're concerned about, not whether we do
it.
So, Tammy, who do I need to speak to?
Me.
Okay.
I'll just take the old coordination forms with the information we had there and look at some of the other reports if I can.
I'll do my best. I'm going to be probably at McNary on Wednesday and the Dalles on Tuesday. And nobody's working on Monday. And what?
Once you get the data, you should be able to formulate it.
Right, but I'm in my truck driving.
Well, do you have a BlackBerry?
No.
You have to call a cell phone.
Oh, yes.
That doesn't help.
We're not going to get into texting because I haven't gone there yet.
No, and I won't either. I will not respond to a text.
I don't even know how to do them, so don't
I don't either. You're
what
same.
Two windows do you, or what time frame do you want me to look at?
You have what they're suggesting. Yeah, that is their. I would say call that the default. And then the question is, if
is there a better time?
Moving, would you rather go to a one ladder operation, but then do it end of March to have the south ladder out? That's really what it comes down to, because you said the north is back, what's 15th?
It's supposed to be back the 15th. However, you guys gave them the two-week squishy that the contractor doesn't know about.
Hence the reason.
Yeah, and that's fine.
You can
that's
ask Sean, are they on track? They're not on track. Because if that gets pushed out to the end of March, then we got to do that.
Yeah, we
got to
do
it. Because we can't wait to have
one. No, we can't have two ladders out
in
then.
Well, I'd be a little nervous with just one ladder at the beginning of April.
For a week, I'd be okay, but once Bill starts, I'm
like 2 weeks. They need 2 weeks.
Well, now, the two, how long does the contractor need?
2 weeks.
The contractor didn't need 2 weeks. The project needed to do some winter maintenance, and they wanted 2 weeks.
Yeah.
The contractor only needed a few days, as I recall.
Yeah.
But we just wanted a window so that for the downtime. The downtime's only a day or two.
So
why
the
are we developing all this
window
stuff right
is
now?
Actually for the winter maintenance. They were going to
can
do
you lay
their
this out
work
for us?
Like
just,
in that window.
Just do what they're doing, and then we'll come back for 2 days. We can give them 2 days sometime easily enough. Good work, people. Give me a coordination form. Kill it.
Yes, please. Put it together.
All right, we're going to move off.
So
what we're going to do is the project's going to do their normal winter maintenance that's already approved, and they're going to come back and agree on 2 or 3 days when these guys can put the pump in. Okay,
work for you, George?
We're moving on to...
Yes, I understand the need to move on, but just I want to make sure that I understand clearly what's been stated here, and that is that the maintenance window is going to be addressed as a separate concern as opposed to what we need, which is just a day or two. That day or two can be... You guys are flexible on when we can utilize that day or two? Is that what I heard correct?
Is this day or two? What happens for this day or two? I mean, I'm trying to get...
The concern is...
The ladder doesn't have to go down.
The concern is removal of the bulkhead, but we want to do that in the dry.
I see. So the ladder has to be down.
The attraction flow has to be off. The ladder does not have to be dewatered.
Okay, let's get this all worked out in a
coherent...
Coordination form with all the details, fish passage issues on one side, the risk issues on the other, the what ifs, you know, the ladder outage on the north side, the concurrent period of outage, all these things need to be laid out so we have it all in front of us. Otherwise, we're just going to spin our wheels here.
Okay.
I think it sounds like the project thought that it would be best to go into the existing work window and work with that and not ask for
more. Right, I see that makes sense.
Right.
Yeah. But now that we're getting later and later and later, it starts to
sure.
get a little bit.
So they only need 2 days, and they can be done with just the water.
Interact with Tammy. Right. She'll send out a separate form.
You'll have it tomorrow.
Yeah, but if those 2 days have to be coordinated with
you guys, will have it later today to review or make sure you have it with it.
So lastly, if it'll help expedite, I'll let Gary borrow BlackBerry. I'll let you borrow BlackBerry.
No, I won't use it.
Thanks, George.
Thank you, guys. Have fun.
Yes, it'll be a very expensive cell phone.
Yeah, they don't work once they're in water. That's what you're going to do if it's immediately.
One of the things on this, on that self pump too, before we leave it, remember when we went to two pumps quite a few years ago? We also closed two floating orifices in the channel. Yeah. So when, if we go back to three pumps, if everything works out as planned, we go back to three pumps this season. I want to open those back up.
Yeah. So don't forget. They were the end bay, or the middle, the next end, because we did close the center ones.
Yeah, we closed all the center ones. I think there's one on each end.
It's one on each end.
I think there was one on each end, or maybe it was one on two of them. Anyways, yeah.
Yeah, I don't remember which ones they were, but
yes, the Dan Pyle era. That's the longer this started was when Dan Pyle was still doing this.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, that was a long time ago, you guys.
One thing you might want to do, though, is talk to the Lamprey crowd, because there's some indications that phlonorphuses may either allow Lamprey to float out when they're going through the collection channel.
At John Day?
At Bonneville.
I know.
But
John Day?
I'm saying if there's any data.
There you go.
Someone has to try it.
Data.
Okay, so that's
thing going on over there. It's one of those, it's like a qualitative analysis.
It sounds like one of your typical qualitative analyses. I heard, like the one second grade.
Yeah, all right, let's go on to coordination notification
first
forms.
Kindergarten.
First one is at the DAL, so we're going to shift downstream. And it's Unit 8, Digital Governor Upgrade. Do you want to cover that, Bob?
Sure. So does anybody need background on that, or did you read the memo and everybody's up to speed on it? Okay. Just real brief, what we're looking at is let me get my thoughts straight on this. Unit 8, they need to do this digital governor thing. They have 2 years to do all the units with digital governors, and they're trying to put this all in with the annual outage and the overalls and everything. And so Unit 8 is a model unit. It's one that they have design drawings for, so it would be really beneficial for the start of this whole contract to start with this model unit, and that's why they're requesting that. And originally, I was not thinking about the performance testing that was supposed to be happening in the summer, and so we thought, okay, well, let's do that summer block, we'll work there, but obviously it won't because of the performance testing, so now we're looking at that spring block. Try to get it in there. Now I consulted with PNNL because they did extensive work on Turbine Passage and Sluice Passage and Fenton. I talked to him several times, and he feels that having Unit 8 off and Unit 7 on to replace 8 with a sluice gate open over the top should be exactly the same scenario. The perfect placement for 8. Does that make sense?
That's fine.
And we're looking at 6 weeks.
No problem with that.
What's that?
I wasn't excited about the 6 weeks. Yeah. Because I know how those go.
Well, you've got my comments on
it. And he said it'll be within that time slot.
Yeah. I don't think it matters. I mean, it's we're just buying on faith and Fenton's word that 7 is as good as 8, and we don't know. So, and
we
I mean, it's
data.
The only thing I wanted was that you guys recognize that it's not totally interchangeable because there's uncertainty and risk associated with that. But we don't know what it is. It's probably
we don't
minor.
Have the hard data because we didn't test that.
Pretty minor though, probably.
But one of the things that should probably be added to the passage plan on this too is that if 8 should go off again in the future, 7 is definitely the one. And the way it's kind of stated now is you just take an adjacent unit. 9 is not a good option.
Right, because of the station service.
Between 8 and 9 with station service.
My only concern, I think, if remembering now what I said at the end of that was that you make sure that this thing's back up
that 8's back up and running for the summer test.
Yep.
And I wasn't sure. It sounded like it was like, well, we think it will be, and I wanted that changed to, yes, it will.
I got, yeah, and we talked about that afterwards, and they said it will.
It's a hard date.
Yeah.
Get her done by that point. Okay. So we're good.
Okay. Keep moving. Next one is Dal's fish lock test plan.
Okay. Yeah, just an update on that. We were originally thinking of running a test of the fish lock for backup water supply in February. Now we're thinking of backing it off to the last week of January, which is actually even better because the north will be up and running while we're doing this test and messing around with the east.
The south, or east,
so that'll work better on that schedule. We have pretty much everything in place. Project has put some time into it. George Medina stepped up and provided us some funding to be able to work on the fish lock, so that worked out really well.
Did you get all the diffusers?
And there's four diffusers that they needed to work on, but all we really needed was two for this test. And they were able to get two of them functioning and open. And we looked at the conduit. It's got a little bit of mud in it, but it's not.
Oh, it's you not put a rope extensive. In there or something and looked at it?
No,
you can actually walk in and look at it.
We drained it, yeah. Yeah.
So what's the difference? I mean, you only need two. What would four give you versus two? I mean,
well, two isn't a bottleneck. The actual bottleneck is the valve room.
Yeah, right.
So given us two more diffuser valves wouldn't necessarily have given us more water.
I just want to make sure we're not doing that.
So we settled, as soon as we got the two done, and they said it's going to take quite a bit more to get the other two, so I'll just keep the two and we'll move on.
I just didn't want to see, like, oh, we had two, but oh, it didn't work out that well. If we had those other two, I bet it would have worked, and then that's come back.
Yeah, well, we may run into that, because there's a lot of things to this. I mean, we're gonna do what we can on this test, but, there's probably a lot of things that can be modified that will take a lot more funding and resources to be able to do it to get us a little bit more water, but we're not sure. We just want to make sure we get some water.
All right.
So right now. That's that. Questions? Yeah. Comments?
No issues there, other than I'm still not sure how this all fits in with the emergency AWS and the Dalles and where we're actually going to go with all that. I mean, this isn't enough flow probably to meet that need. So
it's not enough, and that's why and that's why George is a little hesitant at first, because
how does it
this
fit?
Isn't we already know we don't have enough.
If this isn't enough, then aren't we building something that is enough?
After consultation with the team, the study team, they're saying this is good information to have, because fish lock is still on the alternatives list.
Yeah, and I'm not saying we shouldn't do it. We should do it. It's just a matter of how it all fits together. It's still fuzzy in my head, and where we're going to end up with on this pretty important program that's been putzing along for, 20 years now?
Yeah. That's why, from a project perspective, I'm glad that we're going to have something, because it could be another 20 years
before we ever see a gravity flow system in there.
At least we'll have another 20 years where we know we can get something.
Mm-hmm.
Gravity?
Yeah, that's kind of where they're leaning.
Our best hope would be a
term. Courtney, could you summarize the conversation, just what the bottom line is of this test?
As far as why we're doing it, or what?
When it's happening.
No, we're gonna shoot for the last week of January for the test.
Okay. How long?
I'm thinking it'll probably be a day.
Yeah.
That's all.
Okay. Thank you.
How are you going to get an idea of the volume that you're getting through there?
We'll just set the weirs and then calculate it.
Calculate it from weird calculation. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, that sounds like it for
done.
Discussion, huh?
I think so.
Forth and make some mud.
Yeah, next, I think it'll be an interesting muddy thing.
Item was Byrne provided with the agenda a revised avian hazing plan for the lower Columbia. Okay.
If you have your agenda, there's a little table just after the formal agenda, and it shows the 2009 hazing plan, the 11 hazing plan, and then what Vern would like to propose for the 12 hazing plan. And basically, it just removes the boat-based hazing, which will save us a lot of money.
What was done in 2010?
Okay, so the reason we have 09 is that's pre-TSW, and the planning bios said that we could probably go back to pre-TSW hazing, and they'd be okay with that. So that's why you're looking at 9 and 11. In 10,
we had boat hazing in 10, didn't we?
Yes.
We did.
Yeah. So probably it's the same as 11, most likely.
What's that?
Likely the same as 11, but she's going to check.
That's what I'm asking.
The important ones are the years we did the performance testing, which wasn't 09.
Yeah, 10, if I remember right, we had the boat hazing.
Honestly, it's actually not a bad thing to do, since we're going to do performance testing there anyways. If you don't boat hazing and you see a problem, you're going to find out that boat hazing was important or not.
Right.
And you just have one more confounding variable, too.
Not a good idea.
Not a good idea.
Oh, come on, it's going to be fun.
Yeah, let's make it with multiple variables. I don't understand what any of this means. And
well, the cost for boat hazing is substantial. That's why he's looking at taking it out.
Yeah. you've tested your performance standards with boat hazing.
Yeah, right.
So you're proposing to remove a measure.
You can't do
under
that.
Which you tested.
Have to retest.
But can't do it.
They're testing this year.
They're testing this year.
Well, we'd have to retest again, though.
Yeah, that. No, okay. Then. Yeah,
if it changes.
If it changes.
If it doesn't change.
Then things get real ugly quick.
Yeah.
Yeah, but if it does.
Yeah, but it's going to be different.
It's the same operation for 2 years.
It's not a given that it will be different. That's why you should be different here. But
in 10, we did not have boat based hazing at the Dalles.
Right.
At the Dallas.
In 10, right.
Yeah, this is
the
10.
But the wires were out.
No, we're talking
both. So how is it that if it doesn't change, you don't have to test again? You have to have two consecutive years of the same operation.
No, same performance. If we make the performance level of 96 or 93, that's right.
96, 93.
If we make it, you make it. And so you can do it with or without the boats.
You can, you're just taking a risk.
Exactly.
That's I would say,
is it worth it?
Well, there's one other thing here, and that's the BIOP says effective. You need to implement effective measures at avian deterrent measures at these dams. So, if you've determined one, what's effective? I guess is the question.
Anyway,
I would say that maintain effectiveness. If you can maintain effectiveness without boat hazing, that's fine. But you need to assure yourselves that you are. The last thing we want to see region-wide is these birds move in because we're not effective in our hazing efforts, and then you lose however many millions of dollars you're spending on this study because birds ate our lunch. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, well,
just because of a boat.
I would almost rather do it because you know this is going to come down the pike in the next couple of years, that they're going to want to get rid of boat hazing sooner rather than later. Mm-hmm. I'd almost rather do it when they're measuring it.
Let me finish. What I was going to say is that if you're going to do this, you got to have a contingency plan for if the birds respond. The whole point, Nathan was here, he'd be telling you, if you're going to be monitoring out there where these birds are and you see a change in that, that would indicate that we may have a problem in the tail race, that you need to have a plan ready to go to deal with that, whether it's boat hazing, whether it's pyrotechnics, helicopter bombs, whatever, something.
And in the last meeting, didn't we have Skidmore and Vern we're going to talk about? Coordinating the operations between what models.
Have some guys.
What the paying for and seeing what to do. Is sea lion hazing more important than bird hazing than is going after bike lines? And so they were supposed to do a comprehensive who's doing what, where, and why.
What else the thought was is that they might make a mobile crew and that kind of thing.
That's what I was thinking. Well, you have the guys, if you just have a boat and the guys that are doing the work from bank suddenly see they need to get out there, then they can get in the boat and go out there.
Sure.
Well, they can't go in the BRZ, though.
You can. We need two boats.
We own two boats in the world. It's a matter of having.
We're not doing BRZ hazing. We only have one boat at each dam. They don't have
that. The problem is that you do have two boats. You would, if you want to go to BRZ, you're going to have to take both boats to the BRZ.
Right.
Which would be a little more delightful.
So how soon do we need the answer to this, Tammy? Can we wait another month?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so
since Byrne has declined to show up, you may wait until he is here.
Yeah, I was wondering about that.
I guess the bottom line is it needs to be as effective as it was. That's all there is to it. Backing away from the effectiveness. I mean, the whole point at the Dalles was to improve our avian predation effectiveness to meet the standard. So when we stepped away from the Dalles a year ago and said we didn't make it, but we think it's because of birds. Turning around and forgetting about birds doesn't make any sense to me, so we're backing off from that. So
I believe with the new wires that were installed at John Day, and then Langsley had said that he would suggest that operations go to the pre-TSW hazing plan, whatever that was, he would be comfortable with it. And so that's the table that was presented to you, pre-TSW, post-TSW, and then the proposed, which is still more than pre-TSW.
Yeah, I
but whether it meets performance, I'm not sure.
So why don't we bring that back next meeting with more meat on the bones and present that?
Well, hopefully you'll also put in the detailed portion of what the plan would be with more crews.
I mean, it's just pretty simple. It's just to have a crew ready to go or a plan ready to go. It doesn't have to be a crew standing by, but some plan to implement if you see an odd reaction from the avian predators.
Does Hostess went out of business? Throw the biscuits in the parking lot again.
Yeah. They did go out of business. Yeah, we can Twinkies. We can upgrade it from Wonder Bread.
They're going bankrupt again.
Yeah, really.
I think there was a question of whether USDA can supply people fast enough too.
But those things we'll answer. We don't have enough information.
Well, if there's guys that are already out there,
we don't jeopardize the test. Yeah. But we want to try to save money, but we don't want to save so much money that we have to perform a test again.
Exactly. That would be.
That's why I was bringing up questions because FY13 is budget is looking.
I have a question, please.
Harry
mentioned substantial amount of money. What was the cost for 2011 program at the Dalles and John Day?
For 2011.
For the boat hazing part?
Just the boat hazing. For John Day it was $180,000 and for the Dalles it was $166,000.
Okay, thanks.
I hear that Ed'll do it for a lot less.
Yeah. If you give me shells, I'll do it.
He could probably take a zero out of there and he'd still go out.
Give him those boats down to estuary.
Sure,
it's
not showing to be effective.
Just give
an eagle.
Well,
you've
already
built here?
Yeah.
I got a boat.
Out at the Metro.
You think Gary's online? We got two boats. We took BRZ.
I got a shotgun. I got a boat. Go.
I got mine. We can do the BRZ.
There it is. We got two boats. We'll do it for 100. That's 80,000 less. That's a hell of a savings.
That is.
Annually.
And we'll hit both at the same time.
Retired.
And you get rid of Fredericks, too. He'll be on retirement.
Scott's going to be good at us.
I'm going to be with you guys. I'm not saying anything.
It's okay. Look at that. Look at your windfall there. You get rid of all of us.
We'll do
sea lions
too.
You'll do the black. All right, so I'll have Byrne.
How much is 100,000 divided by how many?
Contingency plan.
It just went up.
All right, so then we keep moving. It looks like we are back to Doug and Lisa. FTP bond, 1 March to 10 April, KELT operation.
Oh, good. This will be easy.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
I knew this meeting was going to hurt.
That's for last.
And it has.
I can get an answer there.
You're
just sharing
information. Well, we got an answer.
You
want? No, you got an answer. Other than the one finger answer.
All right.
One finger answer is
coming. We don't need those.
So to kick this off, it sounds like this year we have.
See, Bob.
We have a couple different issues here with the B2 corner collector operation that we should probably kick off today, discuss. Not sure any folks here think we'll come to resolution, but it sounds like issues at hand are the automated gate hoist, just a brief discussion on update on
does it work? Is it
Is it going to be in there?
So some brief discussion on the status of the automated gate hoist. In conjunction with that is then, well, how do we intend on operating that automated mechanism? There's been previous years discussions on what trigger would be used, how, if, and when. There's been frustration on that. So I think today would be a good opportunity to tackle some of those issues. And I think, I don't know what folks' expectations here are today, but mine is not to settle on an operating, but it sounds like Gary has a memo here, so it'll be good to go through that. Hear Noah's comments on expected operations, also hear from BPA and also from the Corps on kind of what we can do. So I guess that was kind of an overview statement. Does Tammy, am I missing anything, or Lisa, am I missing anything on behalf of the Corps as far as what we know to date on?
As far as the hoist operation for opening and closing the corner collector, you will see a change form on that next Friday. And all it does is it shrinks the time that the corner collector, you know, right now it says it has to be opened or closed within 12 hours.
Right.
And then it shrinks that down with the anticipation of the hoist.
So what's the status of the hoist? I asked George about that, and he said it's not in yet, and they're still...
Not in yet, but it's supposed to be up and running by March 1st.
So we're still on the same schedule, same assumptions.
This time.
Okay.
I was going to say, supposed to be delivered by the end of this month and should be ready to be tested by the last couple of days in February.
And okay. Still trying to do some corner collector Spalding.
Yeah, and then there was some issues associated with that.
That's
that was
in an other item.
Okay.
Of course it is.
Because.
Okay. Well, anyway, assuming it's ready.
Well, and it's ready on March
1st. Assuming it's ready,
so that'll happen.
Then, have we officially made the decision to switch priority from 2 to 1? We did the test. We didn't do it last year. We did the test with adults, and we saw that the survival was good. We still have efficiency questions, distribution questions. So I guess. I was thinking yesterday that we'd made the decision. Then I started looking at what we did last year. Well, we didn't do it that way. So when did we make the decision?
But I thought that it was contingent if the test was a go, that it was a positive on the switch.
Right.
That was
did we make that? That's a change
well,
form.
Well, I don't know. That's a FOP question here. So and since we can't change the FOP, I don't know if we can.
It's a rollover.
It's rollover.
We're stuck with second powerhouse. No. Okay.
Just
so
we talk about other things.
Let's seriously.
But I thought we were to the point where the reason we were going to go to it once we were proved that that passed.
Well,
let's.
Okay. That needs to be voted on, I think, or you know that
was
it? That's my question. Did we make that decision last year? I thought we did, but now I'm not 100%.
The efficiency is still up in the air. We didn't know.
That's was.
Why we didn't make the decision, because we had efficiency.
That was my concern. We still don't.
We have a great opportunity for it this year with all those JSATs
right.
Belts coming.
That's the intent of the study.
We could do a block test and test the efficiency of it.
Well.
And get some data anyways.
Yeah, we've been through that. Systems. That was last, the study or the discussion we had, what, last
right.
week?
Yeah, and how did that end? I guess I think I left earlier or something,
well,
but I'm curious. How did
we're
going to
do a block test. It's just going to be looking at the efficiency, assuming B1's efficiency is a priority, we would look at the distribution of fish with whatever operation we got, second powerhouse.
So why not?
It's just flipping things back and forth, back and forth, back and forth in a block design. You'd have to switch the entire powerhouse from one to the other. That I understand is a big. That's just not easy. Pull all the units down, bring all the units up on the other side. You can do it.
With a brake.
Yeah.
That's what I'm going to say.
You could do it. You'd drive those guys crazy and you'd never be able to set foot on the project again.
So did anything, as far as that SRWG meeting went, was anything decided or was there any formal recommendation on powerhouse priority associated with what would be best for Kelts as far
no.
as this
no,
spring?
Not
so there
for
was
that.
No,
that was just research looking at Kelt,
okay.
Kelt study and source of fish and, you know, the operation was to be, I think, a static operation. We assumed it would be powerhouse one priority.
Okay, so that was
but
that.
I'd like to make sure that that is captured in the FPOM, which is where it's appropriate, change from 2 to 1, powerhouse 2 to powerhouse 1. Make sure
are we going to officially
here.
Do that then, so we'll need a change from
yeah,
that?
Yeah, make sure it's officially changed, and then...
Is that the 20th? We'll get that formalized for the meeting on the 20th.
Yeah, you'll get your agenda
next
for that
week.
Probably tomorrow.
Is
next week. Yeah, January fly-in.
Yeah.
Okay, so we get that established. We're, and I think we're okay with that. I mean, we're, that was the assumption doing the test was to move to that direction. So we're doing that. So then what's left then is to decide.
So I'm sorry, could you clarify? So March 1 would be shift to Powerhouse 1 priority? Is that what we're, that's what we're, am I hearing that? Okay, one more.
Yeah, okay. Yep.
So there'll be a change form in place for meeting on the 20th. So we get it in this year's plan. Yeah, it's March 1st.
March 1 or whenever you want to do it.
And the rationale based is based on the 11 data, balloon tag information, survival via Powerhouse 1
it's
IGS
purely survival.
Is sufficiently.
So it's March 1 through April 10th.
Okay.
When we get to
that's
we switch over.
That is
the
duration of the period, right?
Okay.
So then what's left is the second powerhouse.
That automated thing.
You've got lots of flow out there. Trevor looked at flows over the last few years, and there's no doubt we'd run second powerhouse under most conditions. We're going to be on an average around 150 KCFS at that time of the year. That means about 50 KCFS to run on that side, minus miscellaneous. So we'd certainly be running one, two units, maybe three units over there. So then there needs to be a trigger, because we don't want to run kelts over there and then have a dead end. We either have to go through the turbines or die. I mean, go back around, which they wouldn't, I don't think, do. So I put together a memo that outlines a little bit of the history, the background, and then proposes a new trigger. And what I'm basing this new trigger on is a date rather than some prorated trigger based on fish passage, because I think with the bulk of the fish going to the first powerhouse, trying to figure out how a new trigger with that priority relates to our old trigger would be very difficult. So rather than going through that process of trying to figure that out, which is going to be a whole lot of assumptions, what I did is I looked back at the last 3 years. Two of those years we actually used the trigger. 1 year we didn't, but we were going through the discussions of how to do it. So I thought, well, I'll throw those 3 years together since they're a recent history of steelhead passage. And I looked at when the trigger would have tripped in 09 and when it did in 10 and 11. And the average of those dates is March 17th. So what I'm saying, and I looked at steelhead passage too as well for unclipped, supposedly wild steelhead, and the numbers that we have this year, which would somewhat project what we might see in terms of kelp passage this coming year, is very similar to what we've seen the last several years, about within 90% of the average of the last 3 years. So I would expect kelp numbers to be about the same based on that. So choosing a date based on those seems to make sense to me. It's the 17th is, you know, kind of in the middle of what we've seen in the past 3 years, so obviously from an average. So what I'm proposing is that once you meet that date, you would automatically open the corner collector if you run two or more units at the second powerhouse. Now, two units is about 30 KCFS. Given the time of year, that's about 20% of the river flow going over there, so that to me is a significant amount of flow and potentially a significant number of kelts. So I'm saying that's the date. You just automatically open it and you run it only if you have two or more units. And then what's open for discussion, I threw a 4-hour thing in there. If you're going to run those units for 4 hours, then you want to go ahead and provide corner collector operation. If you run it, you run the corner collector for 4 hours after you shut off the units to get any fish that happen to be in there out. Now, that 4 hours is taken right out of the sky.
So after March 17th, the trigger is if you want to run more than two units, you need to open the corner collector. And once the corner collector is open, it needs 4 hours before it closes after you go back to two units.
And if you run 4 hours, the units can run for 2 hours or an hour, and you don't do it. But if the units run 4 hours, then you do it. Okay. Now, that's like we can discuss that. That's just out of the sky number I picked.
What's your reasonable?
Huh?
Yeah, what's your reason?
I'm trying to be reasonable because I've been so hard by these guys over the years. Okay, now I've got one other piece to this, and that's that if the smolt monitoring folks do hit our trigger of 2 to 20, the old trigger, even with one or two units running over there, that we open the corner collector. So, you know, that's like if we just run less than two units, maybe it's in the first week of March, like we saw, I don't know what year it was, 2003 or something.
We had two or three that we had.
Yeah, we had a huge number of kelts coming out. So that's sort of a fail-safe for the resource. If we saw a large number of fish coming out, unlikely we would hit that trigger, but if we did, it's just the old trigger. It's just using the old trigger in the second powerhouse.
Right.
Even though we're not using that powerhouse, and one unit operation probably wouldn't hit that, but it could. If it did, that I think we'd want to do something. So
when you get to that trigger, would then you start operating as if it was the 17th?
Yeah, you would just open it and you're good. Well, no, because
then you'd be able to open and close it. Sometimes it's a spike in the fish and then they're done. And so that's what I was.
Okay.
How do we address that?
Yeah.
Because it sounds like it, we're cool to have it close till the 17th, unless you're not going to collect fish in the collection facility.
Right. The trip
to
trigger.
20, would it be on, just on the rest of the time? Or would it be you're into that same, like you're at the 17th?
Yeah. That's a tough one, Scott, because if you're running the unit and then you don't run the units, and you run the units and don't run the units, and you see the numbers go up and down with that,
In order to hit that 20 fish trigger, you'd have to have a huge run.
I think so.
And you'd want to support that run.
I think you'd have to leave it on at that point. I don't think you're going to hit it. I mean, the risk is pretty minor.
Once and it went back down.
Yeah, and isn't that been typical,
I guess? But that's
with
second powerhouse priority, though.
Yeah, and with just one turbine unit going.
And there's also with the corner collector on, so you'd expect it to go back down.
When the corner collector kicks on, you're going to have a lower number.
Right.
If you're going to get to 20 with no corner collector on, it'll be easier than if you do
right.
it with...
Right.
No, that's my point.
But his point is then how do you measure it after that?
Yeah, then you're just chasing your tail. Like you turn off, like, oh, hey, they're back. Okay, open back up. Now turn off.
Yeah.
And then you're just.
Then yeah, you're and you run the unit more, and there they are, and you run the units less.
Right. One of the other considerations was do we want to put the steelhead into there during the day when the sea lions are having a fun time?
Yeah.
Well, the only downside is we need to go back and look at this data. Do kelts pass during the night? Because if they don't pass the night and you open the night, then you're doing no good for the bar.
Right.
They do pass. They're 24-hour passing. That
right.
We looked at that.
Is it
and,
yeah.
Yeah. And having...
Is it even?
I don't know if it's even. It's just passage.
I was going to take a look at Fenton's work that he did with the hydrocube
right.
and the dowels, and I can't remember.
It was all the time.
It was all the time.
Inventory is just nighttime only. Or
I need
only.
To take a look, because I can't remember.
Right.
I wouldn't go day or nighttime only. And as far as the outfall goes, I don't know which is worse. I mean, you're either... Either you're in the sluiceway outfall, you're in the corner collector outfall, you're coming out as chunks
I think the corner collector outfall is probably the best of the all routes. Yeah, sluiceway's probably the next best in terms
of I just don't know how to say, you know, whether it is or not. Given no spill, corner collector isn't the best of outfalls. But if you're a sea lion, you're going to be able to deal with it no matter what. You know?
Yeah, the 5,000 is going to be a wider dispersal.
That's true. Yeah, yeah, more than a day and a half.
Over there sleeping. But
wherever the dinner bell rings
during that period too, they start transitioning.
Wherever the dinner bell rings, they will be there. I don't think that should drive us.
Okay.
I mean, that's a good point.
Yeah.
You know, good consideration.
I
wish we could do something more about the sea lions, but that's going to get worse.
Yeah, that's the thing. Is, are we going to tie back into sea lion monitoring of these? If we start seeing less activity, say at corner collector or sluiceway and that kind of stuff, like even out there for sturgeon.
No, what do you do? You know? Yeah.
How long has this
right on through the turbines
been the same, the two kelp, 2 day, 20?
We started that in 2010, and then we implemented in 10 and 11. We started talking about it in 9.
Yeah.
Okay, because just looking at the date, you know, doing an average of 3 years, you know, two of them are not, you know, are the same date.
They're the same
date.
You
wouldn't want to skew it earlier?
Yeah, I know, I see that, but I just went simple. I don't want to get
back a median date.
He's once again being
median,
reasonable.
Yeah.
And he is.
Good.
And Gary, I appreciate you being reasonable.
He's extremely reasonable.
And it's still
to get this through.
I just want to. What I don't want to do is end up on 3rd of April looking this thing up.
And only one more thing. We don't have to change gears here, but before we get off this subject, I would like to add number 5, or at least the point of discussion would be tedge management at Warrendale for the chum operation, because it's not on here. But we should take the opportunity to talk about that today as well, just because that does, year after year, it seems to pop up.
It does.
Late season, and we all panic, and, TDG, Warrendale, the chum are all going to die, and then it comes up at
FMR. It was an issue
TNT,
in
11,
in
10.
It wasn't an issue in 11.
So you see the tailwater.
Actually, it was... Are you sure? Because I could have swore it happened last year and the year before.
The year before, it certainly did. Last year, we had a sort of a waiver from Agnes, I thought, that she was basically.
Yeah, but I still remember from an RCC perspective, I'm really happy this gate hoist is getting automated, is because we get in that position where we're all happy, we coordinate our form here, and we're all good to go, and then all of a sudden, we got our water quality folks saying, has anybody been looking at Warno lately? Your little chum operation there downstream is getting gas, so then we all close it. Then we can't get it open, and so we should yeah. take. We should. I would like just to be
that
holistic here
problem.
In this discussion. Is make sure.
Waiver in March, so it's April. April 1st. The waiver kicks in.
Yeah.
Is it April 1 or April 10?
April 1.
Even but I guess.
Still on the 10th. The waiver's April 1.
Yeah. Okay, but I guess my point is if we're talking about folks are talking about the opening of it, and it sounds like an intermittent operation here. It would be just the acknowledgement that should. We'd be in a situation at Warrendale is approaching 105. Folks, I know in our shop, from a water quality perspective, would start the discussion of, hey, we'd like to close the B2 corner collector operation. That generally, I can't get I don't know the numbers offhand. I could dig those up for folks. But there's a pretty quick response time. It's measurable, quantifiable. It would be off. I know you're shaking your head. So if you want to go there, but here's the deal.
25 ACFS on the spillway, we've seen no response.
You're never going to see it at Warrendale.
We did last year.
I think we did.
You did run Power House 1 as a priority last year.
We did for the kelp. Remember we ballooned all those fish?
With the Bay 118 closed and then the sluiceway on and the corner.
We just run 25K through the spillway and don't see it.
I can, I'll go.
It's very variable. Amazing how much.
Yeah, well, it's because you've got one little plume that's wandering around out there.
Right, but what I'd like to do is while we have all the folks here is to discuss that. Because I would like to, I'm getting a lot of head nods here, and that's fine. The issue at hand, though, is then from the waiver perspective, I think the approach the Corps has taken.
You write that one. I'm not adding that. That's not number five. That's a different issue. This is a trigger issue. What I want the gas issue is a separate issue. We'll work on that. We need to work with the state agencies. Last year, I remember Agnes giving us the nod to go ahead and run that thing. I don't remember exactly.
We went high. I think we went up to 110 instead of it being 105. Because the rationale is you manage to 110 unless it's fisheries concerns. So then they bump it down to 105. Our response from I think NOAA and others was, hey, that's ridiculous. Let's do it at 110. So I think they said, hey, sounds like folks are on board. We'll do the 110. But even at that 110, I could swear, remember, if it wasn't an 11, it was 10.
That's okay, but I don't want it to be a 105. I mean, we got past that last year, and I don't want it to go back to the same. That's what killed us in 2010. We ended up with crappy operation, on-off, and fighting the wind and everything else out there.
But Doug, I think the appropriate place to put that will be in the change form.
Yeah.
The number five. Yeah,
let's.
Gary's memo.
Yeah.
And
let's,
so we'll kick it around.
Yeah, I don't want to deal with gas here.
Okay.
We'll make sure we iron out the gas issue.
But it sounds like from a core RCC perspective, what we could do is coordinate with Water Quality Washington, Oregon, and basically
Oregon.
Hey, we'd like to memorialize this in our fish passage plan that for this KELT operation, for future conditions, we'd like to bump the 105 up to a 110.
Using Geist's information, because the core has spent a significant amount of money investigating this.
What about changing the date as well?
Changing the date.
In March, or didn't you say it was April 1st now?
Are
you talking about the waiver?
Yeah, I would go after that because that's a huge process. And the commission has to get involved, and you have hearings, and you have to go out to the public to get comments. Better to have Agnes say, yeah, I think we're okay with that.
Yeah, she's been willing to do that. So I think if we were proactive this year for the future and just said, hey, we've been coordinating with fisheries agencies, we'd like to.
When
make
does Agnes
this.
Retire?
Not for a while.
Not for a while. She'll be around.
He is.
Okay. So I'll
thankfully. Pay her more.
It's just more if she leaves.
Yeah.
Okay.
Actually, her
so we'll follow
on
up.
Cut list.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Oh, man, that would be bad.
Well, then they'll have no one monitoring it, so that makes it easy.
Yeah, well, maybe that's true. There's less, few and fewer people, less and less attention.
All right. So what else do we have on the list here?
Gary, I've got a question for you.
Okay.
Your proposal, is that written up somewhere to share?
I'll send it to you, Dave.
You pass it around.
Hey,
okay,
I'll also scan it and put it with the minutes.
Oh,
that was way
too
reasonable, Gary. That was way too reasonable. I was really expecting this to
great.
Be a slog.
Gary
will process it. It'll be a much easier slog.
Do you need to cover corner collector operation at all, or was that enough discussed here?
That was amazing. So it sounds like Cora will put together a change form, and you'll see that at the next
we'll coordinate with the board to get it all in the same.
Okay. More to come when we get some information on distribution, which is for this year's research.
Wow. You have so many things to do by now.
Lower the bar, Tammy. Lower the bar. Lower the bar.
Just call him home to understand that you're not coming home tonight. Just stay at the office.
That's a good thing.
Yeah. We'll be done.
The next two things are task group upgrades, and they both look like Bonneville, and I know we have Ben on the phone. I don't know that we have John. Ben, were you going to cover the AFF mods and the Sturgeon task group?
I certainly can.
Okay, that's next on the agenda, if you could.
I'm just looking at this right now to see what was done with the AFF mods or what's...
I don't think there's
any real update. We got in there to look at the basically the I-beams and such that supported, and some of those have been repaired. We had folks down there blasting and painting and swapping some out. So I think, as far as like from a, maybe to Gary's chagrin, but from a imminent failure perspective, it's probably okay. But there's work to be done down there for sure, as far as that goes. The bigger long-term stuff, obviously there's no resolution on any of that stuff at the moment.
So Ben, did you add in the mods to like the exit section and that, some of the other stuff? Because if the Corps wants to use this, not this next year, but the year after for the big adult evaluation, and so they're going to be their adults, maybe part of the research is going to have to be to cover this to make this thing operational in a way that makes Noah happy. CRFM
fun. Nice move there, Tom. Nice
like
move.
That. Thought you might.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. Are you talking about some of the bigger things? You're just talking about moving the exit out of the Braille pool kind of stuff.
That and like if we want to redo, we talk about redoing maybe the water flow through there. I mean,
I would like to see those level two. We had three levels that I identified in that memo that I put together. Yeah. I'd like to see up through memo two or level two done. Which basically what that did was redo the Braille pool and put in a new wake-up tank on top of the Braille pool that folks could have more hands-on access to. I don't think this is real big stuff. I mean, they'd be putting in a graded floor over the top of the Braille pool, setting some tanks in there. I mean, maybe QuitFic with some money can come up with.
And we've got some money. We'd be willing to put it.
That's what Jeff has told me too. So, and then adding pit tag detection onto that system, and the whole.
And then I think we talked about the where the exit, where the water goes out, maybe take a
right.
Look
at, we get that up further upstream.
Yeah.
I don't think we can do a whole lot about the grizzly in the drain area. I mean, that's, I don't know, unless you can put in some different a way of redistribute that flow a little bit to keep it from being right where the Braille pool or where the wake-up tank empties out. But if we move that upstream, and then there were some other discussions about maybe moving the exit from the wake-up tank further up outside the building a little bit.
That's kind of stuff I'd say. If we can get some budgetary stuff on that, we can prioritize that. And then
flume stuff.
I mean, if we're going to have to get as many adults, I think we're going to need to adult evaluation, and we're uncomfortable with this facility the way it is, maybe that's your back of the door.
Yeah, because we're going to add a task onto that adult evaluation that...
Evaluate the AFF?
No, what we really want to look at is sea lion... sea lion consumption of fallback fish versus fish the first approach, and that may take a lot of fish to do that.
Wow.
So we're concerned about seeing a dip in fish getting through above Bonneville when the sea lions are there. We don't know if it's fallback related or if it's just what it is. So, but that'll probably take more fish than what we had planned just to do the passage studies. And so, yeah, you're right. We may want to be looking at a lot of fish in that facility.
Yeah. Well, we're going to be doing it even with just the regular evaluation. We're getting so many more results than we've been doing in years past.
So what's what is the next step for this? I mean, I put that memo together.
Yep.
Do we need to go to a... Who do we need to go to next?
Raw.
Who?
Brock?
What does he say about it?
I don't know.
Well,
I've seen Rock's paper. Well, that's the, I'm thinking the REOG, and that's REOG. Rock.
There's this hydro, before REOG, isn't there that hydro?
The Ritchie committee?
Scientific team, Team Ritchie.
What is it called, Team Ritchie?
Team Ritchie.
I'm slowly making that the official regional name.
Yeah, he doesn't like that, by the way.
I know.
That's
kind of what they're doing.
That's lips. That's why he does it. Yeah, if we could, we need a direction to go next. I think that memo I laid out the steps, and I realized that the third level is probably way out there, and that's the one that we would need regional money and some significant core funds and everything else together. But
the only reason I was kind of half joking with CRFM is part of the CRFM funds is going to rehab the Ice Harbor telephone box to do their stuff. So I'm going, if we're going to take CRFM money, and this is part of the thing that I'm a little like,
I agree with you. I mean, it really should be.
Yeah.
There should be CRFM money go into this if the CRFM study that's requiring the use of the facility. None of us are real happy with that facility and the way it looks and the way it operates. You know, we've seen a lot of memorandums for the record for dead fish come out as a result of fish that you guys couldn't get your hands on again back in that wake-up pool to resuscitate. And I think that those fish could be, you know, at least they could survive. So this has a real impact on survival.
So the Corps is on the hook to evaluate some of their ladder modifications to see if those are effective or harmful to fish. And in a study to evaluate that, they could put in their funding some mods to the AFF to do an appropriate evaluation that's not harmful to fish.
Right,
so,
improve that whole thing.
Right.
So I guess that's maybe our next step, and that's our next direction, is to take that to SCT then and say we'd like to see a line item in there for improvement of that. Of course, Rock will scream and shout, and we'll end up with that same issue, but then we raise it.
Well, it's going to be tough, though, if we're funding the Ice Harbor remodel.
I know. Yeah, there's a
really
precedent set
like,
there,
and
there's far fewer fish being handled there than there is at Bonneville and for the future as well. So you know, that thing is the one time.
The research evaluation. It's going to be a tougher argument.
That's maybe the way to go about this.
Yes. Yeah. It needs to be done for the
guys. So what I'm hearing from what Tom brought up earlier, Ben, is that you guys are not going to do any mods, though, this year.
You mean this winter maintenance?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
No, I mean, we're not even truthfully able to get to the winter maintenance we had planned in Bradford just because of all the things that are going on.
Okay. Yeah, it's been taxing this year.
Yeah, a lot going on.
So they'll keep their pit tag, and Jeff will have to look into, I don't know, there was some contractual issues.
He was
going
to make Moss the contract, and it was going to be difficult. He wanted to get some assurances that something done, and since it doesn't have to, he's not going to go.
They'd have to redo it anyway. So I guess the best plan of action is to come up with the best configuration changes for next year, over winter, and then get those funded through SCT.
And thing is, Jeff does have some funds this year available for, like, say, tank purchase possibly or something like that.
Right.
So if we know ahead of time.
Well, let's get this.
Jeff could possibly purchase a tank or something like that.
So I guess I would suggest, is John the chair of this committee?
He's a reluctant chair only because it was turned over to him. We don't have a good chair for the committee.
Well, that sounds like he's a really good chair for the committee, especially with his new duties.
He's going to be the Bonneville rep anyways. This perfect. He's going to be prime.
Ben, do you second that?
Yeah, I think it works great.
Okay, so maybe John needs to get another meeting.
I'll let him know when I see him today.
Yeah. Tell him he needs to set up another meeting of the subgroup, task group.
And just to clarify, are you talking about going through your step two items by next winter?
Yeah, let's just outline what, you know, I know it's going to be a huge battle to do a total rebuild of that system, but to get it up to that second tier of improvements, I thought, that's doable in a year with some extra dollars and not a lot of money. So let's put that on the agenda and say let's work that out. Let's develop what we want to see for this next level.
And did I hear, I just want to make sure that I'm hearing everything correctly, but Tom, were you saying that you guys potentially had money to put towards some of those?
Jeff said he's got some money, I think,
budgeted for some modifications to the FFL.
I think that they could probably, from what I'm hearing, they might be able to provide some pieces of equipment, but it would probably take project level involvement and support to modify some of the, you know, the structures in there, add some grading, and, you know, probably tear apart that braille pool and or the braille and redo that.
So some level of design.
Yeah, well, some level of design, and then some construction, some guys welding and cutting and stuff like that.
Okay.
Probably not a big deal. Sort of things that.
The biggest thing is if you want to move that exit to the outside of the building.
Yeah, and that may be some flume and some design, some hydraulic design there.
That's you guys are going to flow.
Yep.
Okay.
So you want to keep moving then?
Yeah.
Ben, with the Sturgeon Task Group update?
Sure. I don't have much for that. We're still planning on having the project construct a tank. Luckily, for, you know, not really luck, but we were able to take ladders down early this year, so we didn't have much in the way of sturgeon up until our issue with getting them in the squirrel case in Unit 18. Pretty interesting, actually. You know, last time we took down B Branch here on Bradford, we had so many fish that we couldn't do the maintenance in there, so it's not been addressed for 4 years. This year when we took it down early in October, we had zero sturgeon. Mm-hmm. So it's certainly a wintertime thing, and we just have to figure out what that is to try and do it better. I don't know how we address that in general or if we do, but it certainly is much more productive from our end when we can take them down and not have to potentially remove, you know, 500 or 1,000 fish. So that's going to happen. Fish Field Unit did put a Didson over at the entrance to Cascades Island. Last I heard, we were getting a weight because they couldn't get it to sink down as far as they wanted for depth, but we modified the railing over there and stuff so they have safe access to it, and I think we'll keep that there for a while, if not move it over to B Branch once it's watered back up, and see if we can't get a feel for when fish are moving in and out of there, just to have some baseline data that we don't currently.
Hmm. Okay.
That's probably it for sturgeon, really.
Okay, and then the next line item was yours as well, and that was task group to meet after FPOM today on the Bonneville VBS.
Yep.
Still on?
I'm assuming we'll wait till then after the meeting to talk on that.
Yes.
Okay.
So we'll keep moving. I think under other, I was going to make people familiar that we were informed yesterday that at Lower Granite, Unit 1 is down. They found blade linkage cracks.
Mm. Oh, that's sounds familiar.
I know.
John Day, I think we got 4 units.
So they don't have exactly a schedule, but they're working with HDC to do that. They are optimistic that they may be able to get it back on before the fish season, but we're going to have to wait and see. They're working hard to try to do that. They're going to weld them.
And I got an email from Rich last night. He said probably by 3:26, they'll have to get it back in operation.
Yep. Well, that's better than we thought earlier.
Yeah, a lot better.
The larger openings are better, probably. As long as
he's going to make a little more shooting in the summer.
You're going to get it too.
That's my issue.
Well, we've had one off for long periods of time already.
HGC looked at that. I think it was a 21-degree blade angle or something like that that they were trying to set as a 27-degree, something like that. But there's an optimum angle to set those blades at. That we have to
think about that. Half decent range.
Okay.
There's no range.
We're looking at
if you're not the top 27.
It'll be like the Loma Unit 1.
We have less units available. We get more than 18 cases.
Pretty peaked.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah. We get maybe 25. We'll get our take care of the barge issue.
So another update next week on that. Or next.
We'll come out with something. Just a memo for the record.
The thought is also probably the first on, first off, or last on, first off situation.
You're not going to want to.
Excuse me.
I think that trigger will be based on what the flow is doing.
Probably.
Which you said that.
Yeah. Then I'll look at that.
Okay, and I think you mentioned earlier under other, Ben, that you had something under Bonneville winter maintenance you wanted to cover?
Yeah, I do. I just sort of wanted to run through some of the items we have going on. We're trying to balance, but a few of them are still moving targets, unfortunately, but I thought I'd at least get it out there, and when we get it together, one of the engineers is working on trying to put it more of a timeline onto something that I can send to folks, and it'll make more sense. But I just wanted to throw all these things out and let people have it to digest, if nothing else. We're currently planning on bringing Bradford Island back up and running from winter maintenance early, around February 15th, so we can jump over, take the one fish unit down at Powerhouse 2, and do some dredging in front of the fish units. We had a survey done over there after we did our own ROVs, noticed some issues, and there's about, to get us back to 2010 level, we need to move about 3,000 cubic yards of material. To get us back to the original design, we would need to move about 6,000. We don't have money to move nearly that amount of material, but we're going to do what we can with the money that we have that was put aside from the UFR that we got to do the AWS debris removal. That's going to go, at the moment, that contract's not let yet, so we don't know what the exact days are going to be, but we just know in the last 2 weeks of February that's what we're planning on doing. While we're doing that, we plan on having the fish units off with head gates installed so we don't end up with any of that material in there. We also plan on not running the north units, 17 and 18, most likely at least 18, to not draw debris into the unit. And then, ideally, we don't want to have screens installed yet, so we're hoping that they can get it done and get it back to us by the end of February so we can put screens in after the fact. That's sort of up in the air, of course, because we're just waiting to hear how much material we have money to move, and based on that, how long it's going to take those guys to move it. While that's going on, we obviously have the corner collector hoist being done. They need to be able to test that hoist at the very end of February. They're talking the last 2 days right now, which impacts the repairs that we need to do in the corner collector, which currently have been pushed back and back and back because Unit 18 being down currently and having issues dumps water into the corner collector as we're holding the safety pool in the draft tube for the surgeon. So they can't start the corner collector work until Unit 18 is back. Scheduled for the 9th means we can hand over the corner collector for repairs on the 13th, but then we have to have it back so they can test the corner collector hoist by the end of February.
Wow.
And so when you say sounds test good. The hoist, is it with water or just opening and closing it?
Well,
the hoist?
I think it's both.
With one underload, yeah. So, Ben, what are you going to be able to get done in terms of a repair in the corner collector?
Minimal.
Just... Okay, so we're not going to get a full...
And that's sort of what, I mean, in light of the discussion you guys were having earlier, that's sort of what I wanted to ask, how much of this can be impacted by the verbiage you're talking about putting in there for Kelb. Does that buy us any time?
Well, you might have to up at the 17th.
Yeah, given we just don't know what the Kelb dot migration is going to look like, but...
Right, but what's higher priority?
Well, it depends on how much damage you've done in the corner bucket.
I don't know. It's not
and
in great shape.
Well, the other downside is, when's 18 going to be back? I mean, if they're telling us that 18 keeps dumping water in there.
How does that work?
18, no. When we have the whole safety pool in 18 for fish, we're dumping water from the sump, which empties into the corner collector.
Oh.
There's personnel in there. They can't make any repairs with
water. It's running all the way down there.
Right, that's their whole sump for the second part.
The sump runs all the way down.
I guess the question is, when's 18 going to be done?
18 is due to be back on the 9th of February to hand over to the corner collector contractors on the 13th. Unfortunately, that's about half the time we had been promising them, so now it's how much can they do, how much cure time do they need for the repairs, etc.
Well, I mean, so if they start the 17th...
So is the reason you're holding the pool is for the surgeon because you can't get them out?
Correct.
And the tail race, yeah, they're in the draft tube.
We still think there's a lot in there.
I'm sure there's a lot, yeah. Well, I mean,
minus 30 some that
we ended up with about 250 in the scroll case that came up through there. So
30 some that were killed.
18 stillers in the tail race. But there's a few there.
They actually found some of the bladed ones downstream.
Awesome.
What date does the 2220 trigger currently start under the FPP?
When the what?
When does it usually?
March 1st.
So it could go March 1st. That's when it first keys off.
Well, March 2nd.
I think it could be the 3rd, right?
Yeah, it'd be the, well, so,
be 20 total.
Yeah, it'd be the 3rd.
So they could hit the trigger in between March 1st or 3rd, whatever it is, to the 17th.
Or at least it could hit would be the 3rd if you had 20 fish and 2 fish per day.
Right. Well, it's
but
even
you may want to give up on that.
The 2nd.
Right.
Because you
yeah,
push
I guess
the button.
Really what I'm just throwing out there is with all this going on, obviously if one thing or the other is important enough to people to allow it to go into the first week of March, or if there's going to be things that are going to occur, you know, as far as the kelt trigger, does that buy us any time for, say, the corner collector or contractor? Just kind
I'd
of
like
want
to know.
Folks know what's going on so they can...
What I don't know is what the corner collector really looks like.
How bad is it?
What are the, you know, what kind of spalling do we have? How serious is it? Edges? We've been pushing this thing along,
What do we think flow is going to be like in the end of February, March? If we think they're going to be like no flow powerhouse too, unless Doug thinks the flood's going to come again.
About the only year that we had really low flow that would not run second powerhouse was in 2003.
I would say based on
this going back
proposal,
that far. We didn't go back that far.
Operating before March 17th is likely. Pretty unlikely.
That's what I'm
but
thinking.
Operating after March 17th is really likely.
Yeah.
That's what it looks like to me.
Yeah, I think you're probably, and then the question here is how bad is the corner collector and do we want to prioritize that over the kelt operation no matter what?
Right.
And say, for first week, you got it. Let's get it done.
We're running for months and months and months and months with rough edges and ruining it more.
A lot of fish.
Yeah.
Tammy.
So it's in small projects, and before we have pushed it off because they would come, and granted, this time it's not exactly their fault, but in previous years they come at the last minute and they need a certain amount of curing time for concrete, which is, winter's not the best time for that anyway,
right.
And so we have told them, you need to do it when the corner collector closes. So the other option may be, can they do this work in September as soon as the corner collector closes? It's
okay.
Still the same fiscal year.
They never
year.
Have the money, it's a problem.
They already have the money, and if they can do it in September, they're still in the same fiscal year.
Yeah, I brought
but
that
it's carried over for years anyway.
I said
then are we going to get another bunch more damage? Once you start not fixing these things, it gets worse and worse and worse.
How many times have I said do it in September?
And from what I understand, not that it's a deal breaker, but if we don't do it at this time, because that contract has been extended for 2 years now and not having any work done, they're going to cancel that contract. Mm-hmm. So they have to redo that.
But if you do it and you don't get everything cured,
so
are you going to have to go back in and do it anyway? If you just go in and patch it, which we could probably do that and get through, but then you've got to go back.
Well, couldn't they do it right, though, before the 17th? Don't they have enough time to actually do it right? Well, we have to give
no one, just so people know, right now they're looking and being told March 1st, so the 17th would be, you know, they'll jump all over that if they're given that. But
how much time do they need, again, to do that? Ben?
Yes.
How much time do they need? 2 weeks?
Well, what they were told initially, and they thought they were going in to get a month. So they thought they had time to do all the repairs. Now they're being asked, what can you do basically in 2 weeks?
And
so
if they have
a firm answer back from them on which things will be fixed and which things won't, but you know, the cure time to get up to 90% cure, I believe, is a week. So they have about a week of work they can do, and then they're kind of done.
February.
But because they have to wait for a cure time.
So they can start.
When is the sump water from 18 going to be out of the corner so they can start working?
The 9th of February.
The 9th. Okay,
the 9th
so from the 9th till the 9th of March gives them a month.
Yep.
So.
But you need to test the hoist at the end of February, right? Or can that be
well,
pushed
I mean,
up?
That again, that's based on
that's
March
1st.
Heads up!
So if that's extended, everything will fly back. That's kind of the...
Let's get this all written down in a change form so everybody can see the timeline.
A change form?
There we go.
There's a change form.
That's what we need.
So that would be the question is, could if we could push off the hoist, say the 9th,
Give them it from the whatever the 13th of February to the March 9th to get as much done as they can, and then on the 9th do the hoist test. Pray to God there's not problems, and then takes another month to get it fixed.
Yep.
It's the only danger you're having. There's like, how difficult do we think the hoist is going to be? It should be pretty straightforward, but
it should work.
I know. Bonneville.
It's Bonneville.
What am I saying?
I know. Why are you cursing?
Murphy.
I mean, I could go along with that path.
So, Ben, how long will it take Mettler to get all that information together? Because we don't really have time to wait for him to make it pretty.
I don't know, Tammy. I'll start today. I mean, I'll call folks as soon as I get off here and talk to
engineers.
And, you know, they're the ones dealing with the contractor in both cases, so I can certainly...
The one thing that would also help to push us along a bit, you have photos, I believe, from last year. Has anyone gone out taking photos from this year to see how things have progressed and changed?
Of the corner collector?
Yeah.
I believe they did take some this fall that I could probably send to folks.
If you could find that and share with the rest of us, that'd be really
Yeah, cool. If you could find, like, say, 10 versus 11, see how much things have changed so we kind of know
see
where
we're scared so, we need to be.
Yeah, so, like, if we see a big significant change, then, yeah, that really makes us move. If it's basically nothing's changed, then it's like...
We'll probably
if
let it go.
Problems with other stuff, then maybe let it go in September. If you guys can go
I will try. I have a feeling that's probably unlikely because they're not going to be like, you know, photos taken from the same spot or necessarily even be able to identify the same spot. But I'll try.
Yeah, I was just thinking if you've had the holes in 10, they probably should still be there from 11. And it basically,
well,
it looks that much worse.
Even verbal.
Yeah.
I mean, if you've got some, you just let us know what you saw when you went through or your guys went through it. And how the change, if it looked like it changed dramatically from last year, and, you know, what's your feeling?
Okay. I'll get photos as best I can. I personally don't think that it's going to probably come across as dramatically worse.
Okay.
But some of the spalling, I think, is relatively bad. It's deeper than I would have expected.
Yeah, I didn't like what I...
It's going to require a fair amount of repair.
What I looked at, what the pictures I saw didn't look good.
Yeah.
I mean, they were...
No.
There's some serious
no, that's why I'm
concrete curious. Removal there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we have so many fish going through that route, Steelhead especially. We're trying to help Steelhead. Probably better off to help those fish than it would be to help a few kelts in the first week of March.
I will get the information I can, and I'll see what they're able to do from the contract side of things, hopefully this afternoon.
Hit the trigger, and those guys better be getting out of there.
What's that noise?
I do have one further question that I think will be easier. The contract we do have in place for dredging is for the Bradford Island exit.
Right.
That's scheduled for January 23rd to the 27th. Would people be all right with, they are requesting that we close the sluiceway north of the wing wall, so really just at 10. Are people okay with that?
It would just be closing 10, yeah, that's fine. You got three open right now, it's 10.
Yep. Yeah,
what,
exactly. We have four open south of the wing wall, and if people want, we can open up 10 at night.
Is it automated?
It is.
It is.
But, I mean, what are we passing?
Nothing.
Yeah, I wouldn't worry about it.
I wouldn't worry about it, Ben.
Okay.
Now, we've got four?
Yeah, 1A and B.
Oh, there are B's open.
6C. Yeah.
Okay, I was just checking the fish pass. Okay, whatever.
Yeah, that'll be
awesome. That's getting changed.
We have to change that.
Yeah, we're good. I'm good with that.
It's already written.
It's changed.
Hold on,
okay.
Say, dude, I'm okay with closing 10.
Okay.
Ben's fine.
Is that it for you, Ben?
I think that's it. Probably enough.
Until your next meeting here in a couple minutes, but I think, maybe we can just close out the FPOM meeting and say we've got another one next Friday to go through the fish passage plan. So
all right.
Various people have put stuff in, but...
we'll get comments back by Tuesday or Wednesday on the Dells purpose.
John Day.
John Day.
We need to get that information first. So.
Yeah, if it's only 2 days,
so you're going to work
somehow
back.
I will try to. And
she may get it out before the end of the week. Are you in this week?
Which one?
This week?
John Day?
Not after about 3 o'clock.
Oh,
I'm gone.
Today?
Yeah, I'm heading out and up towards the Canadian border.
Oh, wow.
There.
Yes.
Tonight, since I get the truck.
You've been taking winter outdoor gear with you?
Yep. Snowshoes and
snowshoes, yeah.
Everything heavy I own, basically.
It might be cold.
Long johns. For sure.
I'm gonna get your cold.
find it. I don't think it's going to be really there, though, because they're saying, I was looking at the weather and the OMAC and all the way up to Havila and up in that area, they're talking 30s during the day and 20s at night. That's not cold. I'm used to zero.
They usually get the broodstock for vermin now, but the lakes are open.
Yeah, they're open. You can, yeah, don't try walking on that ice.
Snowmobiling.
Yeah, Parker Lake or Palmer Lake. I'm from Northwest Iowa. I can deal with that. Wind chill matters. When it's below about 10, it really matters.
Okay, I think we'll switch you guys over to Ben.